Hello.
Hello.
La la la.
Hello.
Good morning.
It's like our belly button talks, man.
Something like that. Hello. Hello. Are you in there? Are you in my computer?
I am in your computer.
There you are.
Looking at those folders.
Why would you have those folders on the work computer?
Looking at David those. Cage ball sex.
Yeah. Not yet. We are not.
You can just take a picture of their studio.
Eventually.
It's just one giant ball sack.
And it's farting. It's a farting ball sack.
It's a farting ball sack.
That's important. That's important.
I'm not sure if balls, if they could choose, would be like, you know, of all the other secondary functions.
Well, it's like a dick butt scenario. You know, it's like, it's
yeah.
You had a limited amount of time to just, I need to draw something that matters.
Yeah.
Here's what
Here's the inner workings of my mind.
Well, I mean, if you walk into the offices of any other studio with competence, you will see some fun stuff on the walls for sure.
Oh yeah.
I know that
Wooly was here.
Sure. Yeah. And
good graphics.
Well, I don't know if you guys have ever seen them, but one of the best like wall boards was the Skullgirls one, where they'd have these amazing like full-on sketches of incredible mechanics and art and details because it's just an office full of like people that are fucking talented.
Creative, awesome people.
Yeah, so they're...
David Cage has a farting penis.
The Skullgirls boards were amazing.
No, it's balls, man. Get it
right. Farting balls.
It was balls? I thought it was a penis that was farting.
Nah, man, it was testicles.
No, it was
the balls farting out of?
No, it was a full penis, but yeah. The balls were farting. Because that's where, you know, it's like, do you fart? Does your ass fart? Your ass farts, but you fart too.
No, it's your balls. Clearly.
Maybe the balls are the ones that, like, force the ass...
Pee is stored in the balls, and now also flatulence.
Who started in pee is stored in the balls?
Who started it?
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
The internet?
Was that like...
Where did that come from originally, am I saying it now?
Because I feel like we gotta...
Why don't you ask who made the pyramids?
Well...
It was fucking aliens.
Or you can just, like, know your meme it.
What does Joe Rogan say?
About the pyramids?
I saw a video that says, Joe Rogan's like this, and it's like, who invented the pyramids? And I'm like, I'm not clicking that.
People with water. Oh. They sprinkled water on the ground, and then they pushed it over them.
Yeah, it's like sea monkeys.
I thought you were going to say they planted them.
Yeah, me too. That's what I said.
I planted
the pyramids were built
shape.
With people whose balls were full of pee.
There you go.
Is it my imagination, or has the beginning of these podcasts got a lot more nonsensical as time has gone on?
The one last time was about death. What was it about?
Pets extending your life for buffs, probably.
Yeah.
Look. I mean, yes, this is pretty bad. But no, because I think it's one of those things where it feels like it every time, Plague, but then
it's actually
you just go back to like the first one, and it was always stupid.
Like, need I remind you, Steve Buscemi is Azora. I think that's like episode 5.
Need I remind you that I promised everybody that this was going to be terrible?
Yeah, that's true.
I promised.
It's true.
Like 200.
We all need a little bit of time to realize how bad our lives actually are.
Like
it takes a few minutes. 36
in now, right? It's still bad. Still a bad podcast.
Plague said that really sad. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Let it be fucking known. The first thing I declared, right?
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're unfamiliar with the smooth Kentucky voice you guys hear, that is our artist friend, Plague of Gripes.
Which you shouldn't be unfamiliar at this point, I imagine.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Kentucky.
No.
Also known as Eli, since no one will call me by my proper name.
Okay, one time I called you Eli and you freaked out.
Yeah, sometimes you do that.
Wait, when was this?
This is like years ago, though. I called you Eli someone freaked out.
No, it's because you called me by my full name.
No,
and I started getting a bunch of Facebook
messages.
I don't
think I ever said the last name.
Oh, yeah, that's a no-no.
I don't think I've ever said McGillicuddy ever.
You did just now. How dare you? Eli McGillicuddy.
See, the problem...
I love McGillicuddy.
The problem,
if I could change my last name,
Mr.
I would.
Mr. Eli McDonald's, is that... there's a wild chasm between people like you who are like... Yeah, my internet name is Plague. Fucking call me Eli, you bitch. And everyone else who you just call by their internet name because that's their new name now, not their horrible parent name.
Are we like friends of some nature?
Yeah,
like friends.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been friends for how long now?
Like
five, six, seven
five,
years,
six
maybe.
Years. Yeah.
See, and you're still calling me Plague.
Yeah.
Like, the funny thing is, though, is that, like, it just kind of depends from person to person in a way. Like, because you say that, right? And and that makes perfect sense to me. But at the same time, Takahata's still Takahata.
Yeah.
Cranky's Cranky.
Klemps is Klemps forever.
Those names have always just been what they are. And, like,
Cranky told me his real name multiple times, and I fucking forgot it because who cares? Hey, Cranky.
It's Alex.
Every once in a while,
who you actually are as a person.
Like, every once in a while, someone will walk up and be like, yo, Curtis. But for the most part.
I call Takahata Kurt now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, fair enough.
But, like, other, like, yeah, Cranky also called Cranky
Star is
online.
Star, you know.
Well, when I'm mad at her, I'll call her Ashley.
Oh, shit.
We use your fake name, Wooly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've been using it for years.
Years.
Wooly. What a joke of a name.
What a weird
Who came
name?
Up with that one?
Yeah. I'm glad no one figured out the real one yet.
It's almost like I had a say in the matter.
You did. Mm. Your baby soul should have tried harder.
What's the cutoff point, though?
Yeah.
Like, we just keep going. Like, we met in 2012 or whatever the hell it was. What's the cutoff point where it's like, okay, even now I think it's weird?
I think the cutoff
like point 30 years?
Is, like, if we ever see you in person.
That is the normal cutoff point, whenever you're referring people as their market name.
I feel like
if I'm sitting across a table from you, and then, like, I feel like having dinner
with the family, would you like another piece of chicken, Plague of Gripes?
I feel like I have met Plague in the sense that, you know, when you're walking down a dark alley and you feel like someone's looking at you.
You sneeze.
That's the type of feeling I get, that Plague is looking at me.
When I was hanging out with
Eli
and Volta and Two Snacks, I called them Klemps and Volta and Two Snacks. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, afterwards I asked you by his, you know, real name, how was he doing? And you're like, who? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Is it Two Snacks?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
I forgot. It's
You didn't forget, you just didn't care.
No, it's different.
No, like,
it's different, Plague.
Like my girl will constantly refer to like V Mills as James. And, like, I'll double take each time and be like, right, Lil V Mills. Right? Because it's just like that. No, because it's just out of context. Like, I'm like, there's not too many. Like, there's another one, James, in my life mainly. And he's been gone for a while. So, you know, you have
so
to kind of
should make
clarify.
It simple, though.
But,
listen, none of us have gone out there with our internet persona as the fart knocker.
No.
So everything is fine.
Nobody meets Matt and they're like, hey, the switcher.
Yeah, that has never happened.
Yeah, but people do call me Matt McMuscles because they see.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that name has been around long enough now.
And
that
you,
like,
chose that name.
It's burnt in.
That was
in.
The wrestling name.
But it never went away.
No, because I couldn't think of anything better.
And then it became the brand, so now it's definitely attached.
Yeah, it's got legally now.
I just picked my name.
As is blue.
YouTube Lives are really
Your
weird.
Your color's now blue and pink, too.
YouTube Lives are weird, Eli.
Purple.
Yeah, the entire, like, you got it really bad, Pat. With the whole, like, especially now that the stream stuff is going on.
That's not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear you have it really bad.
You do. It's terrible. I feel really bad for you
Everyone's
all the time.
Been talking.
Please don't. Hey.
Hey. I feel no, Plague. I feel bad for you because if it's not an angry Dragon Ball rant, it's a fucking takedown notice of some kind.
Why you gotta bring it up like that?
Because that's all I've been seeing is just
all living clowns.
Everyone's
for the amusement
trying
of others.
To shut
As opposed
down
to
your
dead
shit.
Clowns.
It sucks. Yeah, that's true too.
None of us have real lives. We're not real people.
Listen,
this is known.
Man, if I want to play a video game in my pajamas and fawn over my cat for half hour, that's not weird.
Yeah, make me laugh, funny man.
Yeah. Did it work? Were you laughing?
No.
Well, you're
your
an asshole.
Failure as a human being because I didn't laugh for exactly 15 minutes.
Well, you're,
how dare you present yourself as an actual human?
Speaking of not funny, how was your week, Plague?
Hilarious.
Oh, man.
Which is to say, not at all. No.
Oh, man.
Did you watch Dragon Ball?
No, it wasn't on this
there
week.
There was no Dragon Ball.
I remember there was like a 3 week whatever. Delay.
That was a setup, except it didn't have a payoff, so it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
When will you learn, Matt?
Do you question now is, like, do you feel like vindicated and happy now that your branding has been shifted from Dark Souls to Dragon Ball?
That is true.
That is where there's a problem. Like, this is something I've had to discuss with multiple people. Whenever they're doing their own stuff, there's a term that people kind of push around sometimes called pigeon-souled, where you do Dark Souls content.
Yes.
And that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's
all
you get to do. Can I do? No!
Dude.
And the same thing happened. Like, this is another YouTube life thing.
Yeah.
Is if you do this one thing, then that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
I've been sort of... It's sort of been good for me in a way, because those two don't have anything to do with each other.
Except that they're both trash.
What are you thinking of? Are you mentioning Gwen screaming and powering up to Super Ember level 3?
It's fighting increasingly tough opponents.
Power within is definitely some Toriyama shit.
It's Kaioken.
Yeah, that is Kaioken is what that is.
Yeah, the Dark Soul is Kaioken.
But no, for a while early on, I think both of these guys were getting annoyed at me for like kind of implying that was happening with survival horror games.
Not annoyed. I was damn.
No, you're super right. We never disagreed with you. We were annoyed that you were right.
I felt like unless something was done about it, Matt and Pat were just going to be the survival horror guys and never do nothing that's not survival horror.
By the way,
ever.
The next LP after Dead to Rights is probably a survival horror game.
Yeah,
it probably is, but like I was also afraid of that, but then there was enough big games that did well in terms of LPs and stuff that weren't survival horror, like... Wait.
No, hold it.
Does Deadly Premonition count?
Yes, that's it horror. Does.
Oh,
no,
boy.
Wait.
Bully did well.
Bully was okay.
Oh, boy.
Shadow of the Colossus
but
is not horror.
Long-term, like...
Hey, man, listen.
When's the next WrestleMania?
Long-term recommendations are always the survival horror shit.
Listen, man. The worry about was very specific. When we started the channel in
2010, maybe?
The first video ever was 2010 and the Donkey Kong thing from Machinima. But I mean, like, the channel doing LPs. I think it was 2011. The worry there was not in 2011. The worry there was in 2012 when we were like, yeah, RE2. Yeah, Downpour. And then me and Matt are thinking, we're like, yeah, this and that. And we're like, shit, this fucking... genre is dead.
Eternal Darkness.
was actually really great. I love that game. But survival horror is a dead fucking genre. So it's like, oh man, there's a real hard cap on this shit. And luckily a couple extra ones came out in the meantime.
But also, like, I think if you do a solid like maybe year or two of one thing, and you're that guy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, it's what you break out as, primarily, right?
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, everyone has a breakout video of some kind that they use to establish a market for themselves. Like after they go over a demographic, yeah.
Like, if you had, say, Wooly, say, let's back travel time and say that Fighterpedia was the thing that blew up first.
Sure.
Right? If you started to play Dark Souls...
In the hood, it did.
People... We're talking about places that...
No, it didn't.
We're talking about places that matter.
It's like the Genesis. Fighterpedia 1 in the hood.
It's more like one block within the hood. It won there.
That narrative makes me laugh. Then you went to do a fucking Dark Souls LP.
Yeah.
People would shit their pants. Like, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It would be outrage.
Now, luckily,
which is kind of what happens actually every time you tune on to an FGC stream where they're trying to do some other shit and people are like, brah, get the fuck back in the lab. What are you doing? And like Flo, for example, will just stick with it and be like, shut up, I'm playing. I want to be the guy.
Yeah, Flo
you can't stop me.
Flo is the best though.
But people that broke out and are known as fighting game players want to stream other things and eventually get pushed back in their box.
Especially if there's a fervor going on, like, hey, we're gonna be playing Smash today. You're not playing DBZ.
Right.
Well, why did I show up?
Right. Like, and sometimes it's aggressive, sometimes it's a gentle like
nudge
back into the box. And you just got to fight back, you know? Maximilian did, and fucking now he's doing anything
he
wants.
He's the best ever.
Max
gets
to do whatever.
That's the stream I'm talking about.
I know.
Like, depends.
They never go away. And then, again, the slow push back into the box of fighters is a thing that he has to deal with constantly.
That is a super big problem on Twitch.
What's that?
Like, on YouTube, it's not quite as bad because the LP format, it's more... you are the market. Like, your personality is the market. And that can translate into pretty much whatever you want it to.
Yes.
But on Twitch, the gameplay is a little bit different, and there's less LP banter and more just the game.
Playing a video game. And,
so the market becomes more so the genre, the category that you're in, rather than you as a person.
Yeah.
I kind of find, like, Twitch streams are more like, or a certain percentage more, where people are like, I want to check out this new game and see moment-to-moment gameplay.
The rental replacement
and,
shit is
and
high.
And see someone react to it for the first time. And like, okay, I saw what I want. But whereas an LP is like, oh, I'm strapped in for this entire thing. Or it's a game I really like.
But
or,
the other thing, too, is that like when something comes out that is like in that genre that they associate with you, it's like, we want your take on it more than we want your take on anything else, right?
You have to find your overlap, too.
So that's where all that like stay in your lane shit comes from. You know, where it's like, it's because the new blank is like, let's say we did not start for some reason Detroit until like it made sense in the schedule. Like, it wasn't day one. It was, we were in the middle of some other shit. And when that's done, it'll come in normally. Every moment that we're not on it is going to be a thing of like, what the fuck are you doing? Detroit's out. Get on it. You know, it should be because it's like an interrupt your schedule to do this thing kind of feeling.
And then you're like, be quiet, Pat. I need to listen to these comments telling me to play Detroit. I can't just listen to you screaming about playing Detroit.
You turned it around.
Did you fucking see that goddamn travesty that Sony put out, which was the fucking Women's Day banner that had Kara in it from fucking Detroit?
I sure didn't.
Who?
The fucking sex robot that's gonna be like,
which one?
The fucking blonde one.
The
with
one.
The short
that,
hair.
One.
The one that works so that you don't have to.
Like, whoa, that thing's gonna be tainted.
Here's
in a couple
our new
months.
Give up model.
No, actually, no. The new give up model is that VR headset that feeds you.
Oh, I don't like that.
That's, what?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Get that away from me.
There's
There's an extendable prong.
Bad touch.
Yeah.
That gives you a corn cube.
Yeah, it gives you a food cube.
And what?
What is the market?
Well, the market
Nerds.
Is really, really lonelies because because it's the video you're staring at is of a girl with chopsticks feeding it to you.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what the guy's
saying. It's a schoolgirl in class feeding you.
Yeah.
And she's like,
that's the only application.
Paying attention.
Yes, that is literally the only application.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of getting a bento cube shared from your loved one.
Which you can never do in real life.
Well,
that's,
you pathetic VR user.
Even in real life, you're... Let's be fair. Your wife is not going to feed you.
Yeah,
like,
my girl.
Put it in my face. No.
Like Paige is never going to fucking go, here you go, honey. Here's the food.
She might throw it in
your
face.
She's going to grab the food off my plate and take it. And just take it. Because women steal food. Women steal food.
Because, yeah, well, that happens.
It's a bold stance you're taking there, Pat.
That happens sometimes.
They don't ask. They just steal it.
Well, because if you don't want to have fries.
Fuck.
But you want some fries, but you're not having fries.
Fuck.
Then you don't have fries. You just
the mentality is that everything in your life is already theirs.
You can
they're just allowing you to use it.
You can consume fries without having fries.
I don't want to steal any of your food. I want my own food over here. And then,
you know.
Fuck.
That happened.
Usually it's called sharing.
It's not sharing when one person would have said no.
Matt, you know for a fact that's not true. More than any of us.
why me more than anybody?
Yeah, you're on the stealing coats and hoodies bandwagon. They steal food and they steal warmth.
That was hopping on the bandwagon that was already there.
Yeah.
They steal a lot of things.
I steal girl hoodies now.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're more warmer.
Are they?
Because they have to be. Think about it.
I guess.
I steal scrunchies.
Well,
all the time.
I'm clearly not.
And you then what with them?
You put some on his balls.
Wrap him around my balls and dick.
so
it won't fart.
Got to hold the pee back.
And the fart.
Holds all that gas-based pee.
What else are you
going to
do with scrunchies?
I don't know. I was like...
Pee, whenever it's in the balls, is stored in gas form. Not many people know that.
Unlike us, Wooly does have hair.
If you store up more pee in the balls with your scrunchies, you get more powerful.
hey, do you think
this pee, is going to be a second flusher?
Do you think pee exists in a gaseous state in the balls, and then depending on when it gets released, that's when it's pee or gas?
It becomes liquid at the at right at the moment.
Well, yeah, it's yeah. like
it requires air.
No. So, what it is, it's like Die Hard 3 with the two chemicals that mix together.
Oh, you mean Rain of Fire?
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
You mean it's like when the dragons breathe yeah. fire? It's just two.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
It all
the
comes
gas
together.
Sack hits the water sack.
And then you get
so
your...
So it passes yeah. through a very specific organ that ignites the gas.
Yes.
There's a slight spray yeah. that when the gas yeah. goes through, the chemical reaction happens and Christian Bale dies.
Yeah. I think...
No, urine is science. Actually pee gas.
I think science. The downfall of society is going to get tracked back to the phrase you're memeing right now and all these dank memes that we're drowning
yeah.
in.
Plague, have you ever thought of playing like a Dragon Ball, like, you know, because you do the Dark Souls run every so often. Have you ever thought about playing like a adventure-based Dragon Ball game on your channel?
No. Okay. Well, that's my answer to that.
There okay. you go.
Because you should play DBZ Sagas.
Are you beating that not guy?
That. Wait, which guy?
You got to play this now?
No, I just thought it would be fun. Like, you know, we're talking about branching out and stuff and like... He does do a Dark Souls run every
oh,
so
thought,
often.
I wanted you to say yes so I could be that guy.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Plague, you should stream fucking DBZ Fighters.
No, because I know he doesn't really want to play
Boy, have I
game.
Never launched that game.
But Sagas is
Nor
an adventure action game. Much
no,
like
I
the
should
Souls.
Not. I will stay far away from fighting games for the rest of my life.
No,
I will
man.
Appreciate fine. That they exist. It's I bought the game. I installed it to make sure that it is there. I've never launched it.
Oh, you are doing that support thing?
It's like me and Okami.
Yeah.
I do that every time.
Why Okami?
Because I don't want to play
Pupper.
It again.
I never want to play
but
it again.
But I'll support it.
I'll buy it every time.
I'm buying the Switch version.
Well, quite frankly, I'll you know, like I think...
I'm not going to play it, though.
Like, it'll be nice if Okami ever... You know, whenever they stop making it, whenever it gets finished,
yeah.
whenever it finally turns a profit,
whenever the final, you know, credits are inserted into the build and it gets uploaded, then eventually it's like, yeah, we can go back and revisit that.
Can't wait for VR.
It's pretty amazing that Okami is still going, still being made as we speak.
It's the total opposite of RE4, where you buy the new version and you're like, oh, I'll play it for 2 seconds. And then you beat it?
Well, play for like 2 hours, usually.
Because yeah, that first part's real good.
Yeah.
I have never played Okami.
What? That's crazy.
What system has it been on?
All started on PS2. And moved upwards.
It's on PC now.
Yeah.
It's on PS4.
Get on the PC, Plago.
I think it's best on PS3.
Wait, is it on PC?
Yeah, man. Just came
out. It's because it's an adventure game that requires Persona hours.
Yeah, it's one of a Zelda was four Zeldas.
What, it's really nuts with it. And you come out of there with your 90-hour save file going, what just happened? And also it doesn't help that it's a great game. It's so good.
Yeah.
But it ends like 4 times. And each time, your expectations
was more satisfying than the last. But then, after the last biggest satisfaction, it goes on for another 20 hours.
So it's not just the time on its own. Right. It's the way you feel, and then the fact that you hit the end, and then you release. And then it goes, no, there's so much more.
So basically, it's when you buy Okami, you're buying the Okami Trilogy HD Collection.
Yep.
And I think everyone will agree that the quality goes Okami 2, Okami 1, Okami 3.
Okay, well, it depends. Which final boss was your favorite? My favorite final boss was the second one.
Yeah, that's why Okami 2 is the best.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
That
final dungeon's the best one, too, in Okami 2.
Yeah. None of them are great, but that one's the best one.
Because the first final boss is all right. That's pretty good. And then the last final boss is pretty sick, too, but... The second final boss is
cool
shit.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many... It's like, yeah, that's how the game ends, so...
that's how it ends.
Okami nutted, but you're still sucking.
There you go. And it continues sucking to this day. It has not stopped.
At some point, you're like, get off. Ugh.
Capcom's like, a few more ports, and it would have paid for its production.
You go put up your PS2 disc. You'll see all the new content they put in.
It's
How'd crazy. They get it into your house without,
It's wild, man.
They snuck in and they replaced your discs, but like you've got new. It's still going. Telling you,
yeah. Okami claws.
Yeah, yeah.
Your thing. No Dragon Ball games ever. No, bad touch. Sorry. That's something I'd that would be bad for everyone. for bad health. Even like Dark Souls, the reason why I play through Dark Souls is because, hey, I like doing this. It's actually fun.
But maybe you might like playing DBZ Sagas.
Or no. Fighters.
You should dive headlong into a thing you've never tried before. That's what I say.
Just to see it. Just to let
you should take a thing that no one would predict, that you would never predict for yourself.
Inversion.
And do that whole new brand
Stop
new
it.
Thing. So it's
okay. Stop. Okay. Sorry.
Brand new unpredictable experience. That
but I was going
awesome.
To say, even doing the Dark Souls LP
I hate
two parts
that.
Ago, yes, I completely lost my mind.
Oh, no.
I don't know if anyone linked you to that, to me, like, legitimately just, like, laughing in tears because I had gotten so angry and frustrated.
Well, you're playing like, I was, it, fucked up bullshit version of that game.
Well, that too, but it was like there were other events circling my life at the time that were just driving me crazy. And so the part after that was like a legitimate, like someone asked me a legitimate question of, is there something wrong with you? Like, as far as like psychologically goes, and like, actually, yes, here's the follow like medical things that I was born with, and here's my upbringing. And we had a nice LP part where it's like, okay, you know, this is how you grow up as a person, blah, blah, blah. Like, here's the things you want to avoid, invest, be a good person, and it was one of those things.
Buy land.
And this was a Dark Souls LP.
Yeah.
And I was fighting Artorias. And Sagas? No.
No, I want to see you dive deep into, like, the mascot cart genre.
Yeah.
I want to see you go in, and not just the big ones, but, like, dig deep.
Yeah, like...
Like Garfield Racers
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yes.
And the Flintstones, you know? Flintstones Racing.
Why do they keep making those?
Because they made money once.
Someone made money somewhere.
And then once. That was all you needed to do to prove to people that you could take anybody and make money.
Because the kids...
It was the whisper of money.
The kids are dumb and they like race cars.
Like, Plague plays Tack and the Power of Juju.
No.
Like, yeah.
No.
This is free content.
This free
I'd rather
ideas.
Fart out my balls forever than
yeah?
play Tech and
Wait, you
want to
fart your balls out?
You know what would really be... You know what I... Dude,
Willie's thinking more.
Dude,
well,
okay.
I've got like six scrunchies on them. It's going to happen eventually.
I would absolutely get behind a Plague playing the fucking... either Stardew Valley or going back to...
Animal Crossing.
Not Animal Crossing, but...
Harvest Moon?
Harvest Moon.
Yes.
Plague on Harvest
I'll play
Moon.
A little bit of Animal Crossing.
I want to see...
Well, Harvest Moon is more
I would love
you.
To see you, like straight
oh,
up...
Oh, that's just more the meme of farming.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where he's going.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you get to replace, like, the thing with actual, like...
See, Eli,
this is not what
you
it's
wanna,
like.
You want to leave your real life on the farm to go into your fantasy life on a different farm.
Fantasy farm.
Sometimes I fantasize about bringing people down here and like and showing them this is what farming actually is, and then they get really disappointed because there's nothing cliche about it.
Are you not? Are you not tilling
horrible
the earth?
Work? Well, you might do that sometimes, but you don't do it with a fucking hoe. Well, I'll take that back. If you have a garden, you might do that. Well, they usually use an actual push tiller, and then that's it.
See, this is fascinating already.
We tricked him into talking about
it. Yeah, tricked him into talking about
Yeah, you
stuff.
Wanted this.
Yeah.
I tell you what, when I inevitably go up to Canada at some point, which will never happen,
yeah,
then you guys get to make me LP whatever you want.
Yeah! Yeah, LP this creepy cat dating game. What was that fucking shit that Team 4 Star did, and they put our heads on it?
Necobar.
Matt, didn't you do that?
No, Necopara, that's what Pat means.
No, they did. We didn't do it. Just Team 4 Star put our heads on the creepy bits for some reason.
What
just
would you make me play?
Slashy Souls.
DBZ Sagas.
Yeah, man. Thirst Strike.
You don't even want to play that.
No, that's why I want you to.
Fucking.
It would be on for like 10 minutes and you're like, oh, okay, that's
full
enough.
Full LP of Star Trek Online.
Oh, that VR thing?
No.
Oh, yeah.
The Search MMO.
The VR
oh,
thing
God,
is Bridge
the ground
Commander.
Missions in that game are awful.
The VR thing is Bridge Commander, Willie, and don't worry, they patched the VR out of it now.
Really?
So that it has an audience.
Wow. So it's just the game now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
It's just the game.
That might be the worst thing ever for successful VR games. Look, it's a cool VR game. Okay, that was a bad idea. Here, it's a game.
Like VR chat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone hopped on VR chat
the moment
they patched that shit
well
out.
The moment I like that's what I'm saying it's like seeing how popular it was I'm like there's no way these people are all using VR
hell no
there's zero chance
no. yeah
But all the zaniest shit is from people who have VR because they can contort their bodies.
I like saying if they patched it out when they didn't. They literally patched in the ability to play it non-VR. They never stripped the VR-ness out of it. It's way better.
That's funny. Sure. Any other week?
Plague?
Items?
That was my week? Oh,
yeah.
My week has been... I'm going to make you guys do something with me eventually. You can never heal your bodies or get around to it.
Hell yeah.
I started on a new animation. I got scene one done today.
Good for you, buddy.
The drafting on those is what takes the most time, because just trying the storyboard things takes forever. I don't know if you guys can understand this.
I'm very familiar.
I sure as fuck can't.
But just having to sit there and think, all right, what angle should this be drawn at? What's the timing? How does it coincide with the audio? Whereas once you actually get that done, you can just go. Like, you're just basically just tracing that point. Much faster, although it's more time intensive. Mm. So, shitty process.
You could always just draw everything once and then just, like, Newgrounds fucking puppet string it.
Well, yeah, tweening is what I use. I've gotten where I don't even really tween anymore. I don't think I have for the past couple of things.
Hmm.
Although you wouldn't know since that Kelly Briggs animation mysteriously vanished because someone copyright struck that one too.
That one
was the one that really bothered me because that was super illegal. Like, you definitely cannot do that. This is free uses you can possibly get.
It's a weird like thing because like, obviously it's like, you know, when you're like doing your like Dragon Ball things or like anything else for that matter,
Toei's nuts.
They can just go fucking draconian on it. But like, yeah, when it's an animation, it's like that's the ultimate. That's the system completely showing its failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I've been playing Warframe and Into the Breach.
Yeah, Into the Breach is great.
Yeah, you told me about that.
It is. Whenever you were doing it, a lot of people were making Blitpack's bad at the video game, but it's another one of those things where
I did not understand many of the mechanics until the end of that video. Turns work.
Yeah, people will complain in the YouTube comments, but I was just sitting there going, well, of course this is going to go this way. Especially after you play it and you're like, no. Each turn, you need to be sitting there looking at the screen for about a good 20 to 40 seconds before you really know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just doing random inputs, you know, it's not going to go well. So I thought you did pretty well considering.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, you're a good boy, Pat.
Yay.
Okay.
I don't think
But that's a good game. I've been enjoying it. It's normal, actually. The easy mode is a little bit too easy, but it feels like everything is placed exactly to where you can do something and have no RNG failures.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the normal mode actually feels a bit more like you can do everything right, but you still might get screwed a little bit on RNG ever so often.
That's the part that actually really frustrates
me. You play
it
on normal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not as bad as FTL was in that regard.
I have not played it on easy yet because I don't want to get into the place where I get used to easy and the way easy works, and then I can never go back to normal with this kind of game.
I can't imagine what the very hard mode is on that game. It's probably really rough.
I haven't.
It was like it was something about the time thing. Like you,
as far as I know, the only difference is the amount of spawns that the enemies have.
Yeah.
So I think it's just that there might be like one extra enemy a turn or something.
So I haven't really played a much of FTL. I played it like a couple times, very briefly.
It's a very frustrating game.
But
very frustrating.
As this being like, you know, from the same people that made that, is Into the Breach like it looks like a completely different genre.
Yes.
So what are the comparisons that are like, and
the
like
comparisons are from the makers of
mainly
FTL.
Art.
Is that but it's not gameplay.
No.
Well,
you can tell just
because
by
people
at
are comparing
direction.
Gameplay. I mean,
here's the thing,
Pat. You said if you like FTL, for example,
I also said if you like Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah,
as well.
And then I look at this and I'm like, but this doesn't look like
FTL
at all.
Dungeon
it's
more than FTL.
So
it's pacing. It's pacing and things like unlocks and the progression system.
The
way that things carry over.
The overall feeling or intended, like, emotional state, I guess you would say, of the game, of, oh no, and being forced to confront failure no matter what, and doing the best with like limited resources. Like all those things are similar to something like FTL or Darkest Dungeon.
Okay.
But like the actual gameplay, instead in Darkest Dungeon it's turn-based RPG. Here it's strategy turn-based RPG. In FTL it's, I don't know what the fuck you would call it, spaceship management. But
it says turn-based strategy there.
Right. No, I'm talking about FTL.
Oh.
I said this would be turn-based strategy RPG. But like the like RNG elements and the like roguelike elements of like the run to get to the end like are similar between all those games. Like
it has a YouTube demographic overlap.
You die constantly and you make a little bit more progress each time.
Yeah, and you start to learn better. Like there's a wild difference in this game between a bad run and a good run. And the what makes me like this game a hell of a lot more than FTL is that more of that difference is in your control.
Is there a descriptor for, I guess people use roguelike to mean that, but it's not accurate in my opinion.
It is absolutely completely accurate.
And
well,
no, no, what
the
I mean
original
is, what I mean
the
is,
rogue game, the original rogue game is very very different.
What I'm trying to say is some games that are not at all like rogue will only be similar in the sense that this game is meant to be start from scratch, do a run, die, start over.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that's the only similarity, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is that enough to use that
well,
term?
Well, I think that that has become the defining characteristic of Rogue more than anything else about it. Like, Rogue, was that... Oh, God, I can't even fucking remember now. That was a... Was that a first-person perspective?
First-person perspective.
And it was, like, what? You'd be going through a dungeon?
Going through it, and the shit would come out. Exactly. Like,
okay, because that...
Then you have all the tables on
the sides.
The
first game I really
sides.
Heard that everyone was like, oh, it's like those old roguelikes. It was, like, Battle Rock. Not Battle Rock. It
Grimrock.
Was Grimrock.
Legend of Grimrock. Legend, so, yeah.
That was
I feel like
one.
That genre that
was
went on to become the Eye of the Beholder.
It was a text-based game. That was completely incorrect. I'm thinking of something entirely different.
Oh. So it was text-based?
I'm completely wrong and confusing it with
then,
something
yeah.
else.
Then, because I'm
that's
thinking...
That's different.
Because I'm thinking of fucking Eye of the Beholder and Dungeon Hack and shit like that.
The thing I most associate with roguelikes or things that are like Rogue is the intense randomization that's associated with them to the point that you start up the game. There was another game called Magix, I think. This is like an old DOS game that was sort of similar to this, where you could start not in the starting location, but it just generates a world around you, and you're just there.
Yeah.
It's completely, like even something like Rogue Legacy, Rogue Legacy is incredibly controlled.
Yeah.
In comparison to the older roguelikes, where everything is new. And with the original ones, you could do something like spawn, and then take one step forward, and the game is like, oh, you stepped on a trap, you're instantly dead.
So
just
Rogue,
because it's that random.
Yeah, Rogue was Frog Fractions 2.
Yeah, okay.
Right? That's what was going on there.
So, like, what I would determine a roguelike as the genre, personally, would be your input is going to be under your control, and the game's input or output or whatever towards you is going to be completely randomized, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no set level. There's no
there's
set.
There's many cases where you just die, and there's nothing at all that you ever could have done about it.
Yeah, and I mean, and again, if you go from one game to the other, like, because you think about, let's say, Crypt of the Necrodancer, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, that's, like, rhythm game, you're going through it, and it's random, and you start over every time. But then that and Death Trip to Canada are really different games.
That was really fun.
But you know what I mean? Would you still apply the term to both? Like, I feel like, but
they still have that same spirit.
I feel like the language could probably be more better
by ascribing
something I'd say call it like a death run game,
I would, or something like that.
Yeah. Where it's like it's an aspect of it, but the moment you call it roguelike, that creates a genre that is way too open ended.
I would call
for
that
one aspect.
A roguelike the same way that I would call both Diablo and Borderlands loot games, even though they're wildly different, like, mechanically, because the actual core of the genre is kill thing, get shiny.
But how you kill the thing is not the same.
Is wildly different, yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean,
it comes down to a problem of trying to label everything.
Well, or even, like, a Destiny-type game where...
The main problem with... and that's, like, a lot of... I would call that an MMO light more than a loot
shooter.
But
it's also a first-person shooter.
Right, so... Well, there have been FPS MMOs, sure. Like PlanetSide. But,
The problem is that in games, there's two types of genres, whereas everything else, there's only one type of genre. In fucking, like in movies, Matt, how do you know it's a horror movie?
It's scary.
Yeah, bam, right? Yeah. Why? Because it makes you feel afraid and they're scary.
My
shit
favorite horror movies are ones that I'm never scared watching.
Like, what? Like look at fucking Fear, right? What genre is that? It's a first-person shooter. Why? Because the genre described it mechanically instead of thematically.
Well, you know, like I said, my question was just, is there a word that is used? And I guess the answer is no. Right now, it's just roguelike. Yeah. And that's all
there is, genres in video games are terrible. Because they describe nearly exclusively the camera or the control method not the actual tone.
That's super true. That's super. Yeah, it's like, where's
the term
where's
RPG
the camera?
Doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, RPG is completely pointless.
RPG, role playing. I think Penny Arcade had a really good.
Where do you not play a role?
A million years ago, or a news post, it was like RPG has been changed from a genre into a sauce. It's a sauce that you pour on other genres. Put the RPG sauce on this shooter. Put the RPG sauce on this racing game.
Action adventure. What does
means
that mean?
Nothing.
What does that mean?
RE4 is labeled an action adventure.
Someone break down, like, yeah. You know, it's definitely like, it's not that the words, it's not that we don't have them. It's just that they don't really describe anything.
What's Zelda? Zelda's usually described as an action adventure.
It is.
But there's bits of RPG.
Some people will swear up and down that it's an RPG because you gain stats.
But someone who hasn't been playing video games their whole life will come into that lacking information.
Yeah.
And be like, I don't. You know what
video
I mean?
Video game genres are god awful. They're not.
That's
so
not.
Bad.
Yeah. That is a shitty part of it.
It used to be pretty simple and straightforward, but then like you know.
What is Deus Ex?
Your mic is over here.
No, I know, but I'm eating.
Oh, okay.
What is Deus Ex? The original. What type of game is that?
A dead franchise.
No, but really, what genre is that?
It was first person.
No, it was an adventure game. No, it was an RPG.
It was a first person, but it had those elements sewn into it.
What is Myst?
FPA.
It's a first-person shooter.
First-person adventure, right? Metroid Prime.
Let me try one that's much tougher. Is Fallout 4 a shooter or an RPG?
Neither.
Yeah, it's bad at both.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Anyway.
But Enter the Breach is a good game.
Yeah. It's a great game.
Yeah. I mean,
Warframe is also a really good game.
And the more you go into older genres, like, you definitely... It's like scrape up against the walls of like, what is the main basic thing you're doing here? And then as time goes on, that becomes dumb. Like point and click.
Yeah.
Right?
That became very stupid.
Like, what do you mean point and click?
Show me a video of you doing it. And if I can sort of grasp what's going on, then I'll just say, okay.
You know what else is a point and click? Fucking StarCraft.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so bad.
Hey, let me ask you, Plague. You bounced off of, I was playing Destiny 2 with Plague and some other friends.
That was a big bounce.
And then Destiny 2, there was one week where Plague and I played it and everyone else had quit. And then the next week, Plague and I just bounced off it into space away. And Plague landed in the reeds amongst the Warframes. And I have not actually spoken to you since you started playing Warframe. And
we've spoken, but not about that.
But also my experience with Warframe is at launch on the PlayStation 4.
I do have a story about this. And that story is, here's the gist of Warframe, like DE, Digital Extremes.
Yes.
They're a good developer. I think they're based in Canada even.
I hear quite good
makers
things.
Of Dark Sector.
Which was originally Warframe.
Yeah, because it has a lot of the same armor design.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that has transitioned all the content into the original version of Warframe.
Hey, Wooly, you remember that very first 360 game, the first one that was ever shown, and was called Dark Sector?
I remember hearing about Dark Sector.
That was actually Warframe.
I didn't know that.
Warframe.
That's crazy.
That Warframe was the first 360 game.
Is Warframe too human? Is it like, what happened? Is it Dinosaur Planet? What is this?
It is such an unrecognizable thing.
This is not what I
compared to what it used to be.
I ran down a corridor.
I played 2 hours of it, and I also ran down a corridor. MacGyver.
But Jim Sterling has also been, like, he got into it too recently, and he's been talking about it. And even he was surprised and said the same thing, that DE, they're good developers, and it's a free-play game, but its economic model It's very good, actually. There's like one or two things that are kind of suspicious
well,
in their shop.
It's fucking free, isn't it?
It is, and
then there's some, and then you buy like extras, but you can play the whole thing for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And trying to explain this to someone that has not played it is one of the most confusing things ever. And this is my point. DE is a great developer. They're very well intentioned. But they screw up things that they don't have any business screwing up, because while their intentions are good, it's just kind of a mess. They're just kind of going off like the seat of their pants. They're just crazy. So if you start up the game for the first time, this happens all the time. Players don't know what's going on. Like, what am I supposed to even be doing? What is happening around me? Mm. What is that thing? Why are these weird angel creatures descending from the sky?
So let me ask.
Am I a demon man?
So I'm going to assume what you're describing is this game has had years and years years of updates.
For like 3 or 4 years now.
And mm-hmm. when you start the game, you start the game in its completely up-to-date added form that you're has right. absolutely no follow-up on the... Like, it's like the game is currently in a state of like, you played Warframe from day one, right?
It's not that the game started... it's not like the game was started as something else and then over a huge amount of updates has become something else. Mm-hmm. It's that the game started as just, all right, here's our system. Like, you're a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
There's no story. There's just this system. You're on a game engine. Go. Okay. And over time, they've been like, okay, we'll make up a story. We'll try to glue everything together.
Looking at the characters, and I thought he was going to say, excuse me, did anyone notify me that you seem to only play as Devil Triggers in this game?
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
Some of the designs are
Everyone made me very
okay,
aware.
Wasn't sure.
Warframe has a very distinct style. Avara's ass is amazing. Right, anyways.
Well, it's nice to hear as well that it's good and not just good for a free game, you know?
It is, but here's my story.
I want to hear a story.
One day I was doing something called grinding cryotic. It's a resource that you can get this is one of the great things that Warframe does. Late game players can go to very early game, like, tutorial planets and still get stuff out of it. Because it drops, like, relics, which are sort of like loot boxes, except you'd never pay for them. Mm-hmm. You just use another game mode to unlock them, and you get a random, like, prime item out of it, which is the best weapon in the game, or the best Warframe of the game, and things like that. So I was going back to Venus, which is a starter area, and I was just doing cryotic farm. And the longer that you stay in these endless mission types, mm-hmm. the higher the enemy level gets. So they start at like level 10 or whatever. And I was fighting level like 60 or 70 enemies, which is like ludicrous mm-hmm. high for this sort of game. And I didn't notice that there were two MR level 0 players with me the entire time. Uh-huh. And MR 0 is just like level 0. It's just uh-huh. completely new players. So one of the players eventually left after I was like, all right, do you guys want to leave? And one of them just left. And the other one's like, how do I make the mission end? And that's when I noticed, it's like, oh shit, he's a new player. He's totally new. And he's been fighting these level 60 dudes that I've been spawning the whole time. Like, just, I caused that problem for him.
Just baffled because he's like, is this the game? Is this what I'm supposed to do?
I started trying to explain how things worked. Like, he wanted to know, why do you look so cool? And it's like, well, this is a prime Warframe that has a premium skin on it. And then I started thinking, how do I explain all these things to him? And Warframe's just a game like that, where you start trying to explain things like the relic system and the prime system and why you would be farming things. And that when you're first starting out, the only thing you really need to be doing is going after junction unlocks to get to new planets.
Monster Hunter.
No, it sounds like EVE Online.
Warframe
but I
is
just mean in terms
worse
of the
by far.
Walking into an impenetrable wall of data.
I should mention, he actually just said that Monster Hunter... is actually worse by far than
yes.
Monster Hunter.
Okay.
Which is...
Yeah, Monster Hunter is... It has many intricacies that are overly complicated. Warframe, its core... Like, its core premise is unapproachable. You start the game up, and already you're like in a whirlwind of magic and pixies, but you just don't know who you even are.
But is your primary interest just supposed to be I'm enjoying being cool guy looking guy Like, yeah, is that your prime interest is that, therefore you should be fine just walking around being cool, and then you'll figure out the rest later?
Because the thing in Warframe is progress is you don't level up. Like, you never level up. You can grind mastery rank on individual things like weapons and Warframes, and that does level those up, but your primary level mastery rank never goes up unless you get things to 30. And then once you do that, you can keep going up as long as you keep rotating through new weapons. And in order to rotate through new weapons, you have to go to the market. And when people look at the market, they say, oh, this is a microtransaction store, because they go in and they find that they can't buy anything without using platinum.
So is it primarily buying shit, earning shit, or finding shit?
No, that's the thing. Like, you can do everything. All? Everything in Warframe can be free. But the market, which looks like a microtransaction store, is actually like your level up sort of area where you can like buy blueprints for weapons you're and then take them to your foundry everybody. And then build those.
What
it, is it's a mess. Thing? It's Dude, a fucking mess.
As somebody who dived into Monster Hunter back when it was fucked up, the one thing that Plague has gotten me with on this one, I'm fucking putting my head in my hands here, is that he has not repeated one term.
It has a lot of terms. I've not even mentioned 5% of them.
Sure, but what I mean is that when you go through these mechanics, mm-hmm. usually you expect some kind of double back and see that's why it affects your affinity. It's like, no, you have every single new statement has had a completely new system or
technology. Yeah, I just imagine someone's like, oh, so you take your blueprint and use that to grind affinity for the relic system, that, and then the other guy's like, no, oh.
So,
and it's that. But once you actually
check this game out.
Once you actually get there, everything does make sense.
Shit, huh? I super get off on yeah, that shit.
That's
the problem.
Tenno.
Because if you like, you eventually turn into a space warlock boy that's living inside of a pod that controls things via magic, space magic, using the help of a robot lady from the future. It's
so
bad.
I gotta but say. Warframe 2, Warframe 2, Christ, probably got the biggest boost ever from Destiny 2's falling numbers.
Yes, that's the reason why that they were like, okay, we need to stop releasing new content all the time and actually work on our core systems. Because that's kind of what they've been getting in trouble with recently.
At some point, the first version of this thing would have been the thing that you could just start and then learn to understand.
No, I played it the day it came out on fucking PS4.
And it still didn't make any sense.
And it was incomprehensible.
It was hard to comprehend.
Wow.
That is the number one complaint from new players. But once you actually understand it, everything falls into place and you're like, well, of course this works this way. It's one of those games. But the end of my story was that the guy, the young guy that I was talking to, and trying to teach him this is how all the things work. Eventually, at first he was like, I don't know, I should go back to League of Legends. And I was like, no, don't do that, please. So I like taught him all these systems.
Take
like,
under
I know way. The game doesn't explain these things. And I know this looks like microtransactions. It's not. Mm-hmm. Once I finally got him to that point, he's still playing now. And he's like mastery level like 8 or something, and he's almost done with the entire star system map, and he says this is one of the best games I've ever gotten into. So it's that just initial hurdle. Well, I was actually thinking about that. It's like maybe I should do this with more new people, just maybe like pick them up. And the more that I've had to talk to that guy, the more I realized that's a bad idea, because he's like a child to me now.
So
because all my time revolves around trying to help him.
So in what world are you, like, playing a fighting game going, now I get it? Look,
I understand a lot about them.
In that parallel.
The problem is that Plague understands the concepts.
Yeah,
he just doesn't like the concepts.
I know. At a certain point, you go, that's fine, and you move on. You know, that's it. I was pulling a parallel there. But, is one thing I'm curious about, because, I mean, like, it's I can definitely see how you said like the Destiny a carryover feels a little bit real, especially in like the way you like I have my cool armor, I'm walking around feeling like a badass. Is there PvP in this?
There technically is. No one really does it though.
Okay.
So thankfully they organize the system so that the only thing that you can really get from it that applies to PvE are there's a few like skins for like weapons and things that you can get. But that's pretty much it. Which is a good decision. Okay. Believe me. Warframe is a game that is profoundly unbalanced. Like, I have a Riven that is I can use with something called a Gorgon, which used to be a horrible weapon, but it is so strong that I could just stand in place and just wipe out everything in front of me in the space of, like, half a second, as far as the normal game content goes. And meanwhile, there are people standing next to me that are, like, MR5. Like, you can see, like, how much damage you've dealt. Like, it, bring up your tab and it'll show, like, I've done 95% damage and everyone else has done, like, 1%. Like, it's just completely unbalanced that way.
The level of like, aggressiveness so people bad. Display at being into this is reflective of how deep there is to go.
I streamed Destiny 2 a couple times, and every time I did, like, the number one phrase repeated in chat was all caps, fucking just play Warframe.
Right, yeah. So that makes sense. Like, the level of complexity and unapproachableness and ridiculousness of all this is it makes sense why people are as fervored.
Yeah, it's like
as
how, probably are. How nuts the Monster Hunter crowd.
Because there's so much to it.
It's so, almost not even that. It's like coming from like Destiny's community is just toxic and childish.
Oh,
like,
man, terrible. Destiny has the worst community of
Warframe
ever.
Ugh. Warframe's community are some of the nicest people you will ever meet in your entire life. It's really strange. Well, you would think it being a free-to-play game. You think being a free-to-play game, it would just be like a cesspool, right? Because that's usually what free-to-play games are. No, like, everyone in Warframe is like the nicest person for some reason. Well, it's really strange. Maybe it's because it's a Canadian studio.
Maybe.
That's rubbing off.
There's secret, like, Canada stuff in there.
It's true.
Look, Wooly, you can use a sword.
I'm seeing a sword.
Look at this.
And then he's got a big backpack.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play game where all the characters are techno-virgils.
He was vanquishing. He was just vanquishing a little
or
bit.
Or like Sam's, too.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that vanquish Sam. Right there. Yeah, we're looking at footage of
a dog.
The Warframe Beginner's Guide 2018. And I'd love to, because that's the current year version of the Beginner's Guide. I'm just like, the fact that they had to put a year on that already is like,
you have to do it twice a year. I have found those. Like, I have to go looking up for, like, how does this weapon work? And I'll find two videos from the same person's, like, update to the update, because everything's constantly changing and everything's getting really complicated all the time.
I have one other question. Is there a point where you can say, I've done it? Do people ever
where
hit
you
that?
Can say,
or is it actually like,
what the fuck?
It keeps going.
Kind of.
Fucking space combat?
Yeah, there is. There's the normal combat, which is sort of like corridor shooting. And then there is Planes of Eidolon, which is going to be another Planes content released on Venus. That's an open world game.
What's the end game like?
The end game is cosmetics, it's visuals.
Okay.
But the end game is like, try to collect all the prime stuff. Try to make yourself the prettiest, sexiest fucking giant ass Devara you ever
wanted.
Yes.
Fashion
yes.
is the true end game?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just like everything.
Basically.
Persistent game.
Fashion frame.
Like, there's like Rivens that you can get that will make weapons that were already ludicrously overpowered even more overpowered.
That's some fashion right there.
Yeah. It's just kind of endless in that respect. So there's people like Brozyme, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's a YouTuber. He knows who you guys are. He actually might be listening to this.
Oh my god!
But I wanted to plug him in regards to this, since he does a lot of good like introduction stuff. But I was watching one of his streams one day, and he said that basically he was completely done with the game, but it's become sort of a job for him. So he's stuck with it for that reason, but he still enjoys it. It's not one of those things. It's a very strange game. Like, if someone gets started on it and goes, this is not for me, I will not blame you.
Well, the single most interesting thing that I saw about the game had nothing to do with the game itself. It had to do with Digital Extremes, in which they put out some... Oh, God. Let me try and remember this, because I know I'm super wrong. They retire content in this game. And occasionally will bring it back, like, out of the Disney vault, essentially.
Those are the Prime Vault items, the best things in the game.
That shooting thing is really cool.
There's a lot of awesome things in this game. You're
rad.
Like,
So they brought the Prime Vault system back, but the way that it rolled out, people were not happy with. So they just had a Twitch stream where they're like, how do you guys want us to change it? Here's a bunch of ways that we're willing to change it.
You're talking specifically about the thing that Jim Sterling was talking
about. Yes, I am. Yes.
He was talking about the fact that there are Prime Access packs where you can buy unique cosmetic items that are specifically tied to the release of specific warframes. But you, unless they release those again, you can't get those cosmetic items because they're tied to that pack. Mm-hmm. And if you already own the warframe or whatever, like the major thing that you would normally want, you can't get the other things independently. And DE, in true fashion for themselves, were like, oh, like it wasn't malicious. They were just like, oh, yeah, people do that. That's the thing that we do. So they just had a stream. We were like, all right, what do you guys want to do with this? How much money do you want to pay for this? Like, it was a very upfront, surprisingly, like, earnest reply from them. That's what Jim Sterling was so surprised at.
Okay.
But the thing you're talking about, the Prime Vault.
It's fucking this screenshot that just popped up of the thing we're watching that just had red arrows pointing at nonsense.
At completely different stats for every character.
Yeah.
But the Prime Vault, the Prime things are the best things in the game. They have a rotation of a specific amount of them that are available during any one time that are found in relic packs that you unlock via another game mode. But they retire them for a specific amount of time, and then, like, a few years later, they re-release them for, like, 6 months or whatever.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like costume packs and anything else, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can trade platinum with other players that have already they still have the blueprints just sitting around, and they will sell you the blueprints. So that's what the economy revolves around in that game.
That
is platinum.
That
and it's
planet selection screen is fucking cool.
Is
Jesus Christ?
Is there a story now?
Yes.
You're a guy. You're kind of like in this Zen state, and the planets are surrounding your
revolving
character,
revolving around you,
and then you're zooming in on each one, and you're kind of just analyzing where to go on each planet, and it looks fucking good.
As somebody who came from Destiny, the zoom in on the planet map to see that each planet has like 10 different areas is like
to pick.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And they are all used by in-game players as well as new game players. Which
wow,
is really
that's
strange.
That's a strong map design right there.
Oh. Shit, what was I going to say?
You got us on the ropes, Plague!
Jim Sterling was talking about how that was a really good response that DE had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sell the car. Drive it off
the lot. I've already sold the fucking car. You can have the car. You can have it for free.
Suck your dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good game.
All right.
Oh, a Fragor blueprint. That's a good thing.
Void relic segment. Holy shit. And most importantly, it doesn't. You can always go back and sink more time in when you're like just not even thinking. Basically, you can you can just turn it on and brainlessly play for a while. It seems.
Hey, Eli, like, I have a question that
that guy's head is
Mothman and particularly I think Googly are gonna like shoot their dicks off at because they hate this. There is a console version of this game, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have an option, maybe you wouldn't want to do that.
No. I know. I like if you would want to go on any version, you'd want to go.
Yeah, PC. It's one of those games where it's designed for PC. If you can start on console, be like, oh, this is a fun game, and then you play it like one day over at a friend's house on PC,
You
can't go back to console.
It's an Overwatch situation.
The reason I ask is mm-hmm. there controller support on the PC version?
I don't know that specifically.
Okay.
It would surprise me to learn that it doesn't, and it would surprise me to learn that it does.
That was a PS4 prompt right there. Can you scroll down a bit, William?
Yeah,
no, I clicked on an official PlayStation. I was looking at a video from PlayStation.
No, you were, but before,
this is a PlayStation video PlayStation, that we're looking at here.
So. I looked it up, and yes, there is controller support on the PC version.
You asked about the story. I want to make sure that this is the thing I was trying to think of. But the story basically is just that you wake up inside this warframe thing.
Yeah.
But because some Grineer are trying to like pull you out and use you for their own purposes. And this space lady contacts you and is like, hey, you need to get to me. And of course you're like, what? What the fuck's going on? And so you just start killing things.
Okay.
And there's.
You're a protoform.
Oh, yeah.
Both factions want you bad.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, the universe is actually set in like post now, when humans had become so advanced and decadent that they're like stealing children to transfer their minds into their bodies to live forever. And
oh, like the fucking Eldar. Got it.
Yeah, and they're sending giant space machines that are sentient, sapient creatures. We're out well into space to colonize things, and they're coming back wanting to murder humanity for some reason. And this is like post-cataclysmic war that ruins the whole solar system. So everything that looks like it's an alien in this world is actually human, or
so,
used to be.
But with the whole console PC thing, is it mm-hmm. is there really a problem if this is a PvE game? So like, what would the issues be with playing it like with a controller?
Probably turn speed.
It's main. Oh God!
Oh, how do I explain this?
Because you know what I mean. Like when you're playing against other people, you need maximum.
Wooly, you need the fast mouse aiming to do your wall jumps or whatever
against the computer.
Is what Plague's going to say now.
The general gameplay
a lot less important. It's got to be.
Even though it's a corridor shooter in Warframe, you're going to be doing a lot of running because each thing that you do is kind of meant to last at least 10 minutes. Like, it's like a whatever you want to. It's like a video game thing of player retention. That's what I'm thinking of. It's where everything is designed for that time period.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend a lot of time ignoring. Like, eventually, like, whenever you first start out, you're going to be killing every single thing that you see and trying to clear areas.
Yeah.
But enemies spawn indefinitely, and you don't really get much for killing things in general without, unless it's a very specific area. So eventually you get to where you're like, we're just going to run through the area, get to our objective, and get out as fast as possible. So a lot of the game is spent doing a very specific motion of sprint forward, slide, jump, which gets you more distance, then slide again before you land, and just doing that over and over and over again, and sort of parkouring through the entire level.
That's what we're seeing.
So imagine trying to do that on a controller.
Sounds a lot easier to do on a controller.
If it's set up like I have it, where you like your crouch is set to a mouse button or something. It becomes very easy.
If X is jump and circle is crouch, then that doesn't sound very hard at all.
Yeah. I think you have to like hit one of the bumpers, and there's it's a more particular timing or something on a controller. I don't know, but
when I played it on PS4 on controller, I remember it controlling okay, but like you can see in the footage, but your characters are very like kind of stiff, and their torsos basically move a lot.
It could be easier on a controller. It could be.
Kind of thing that I've run into in a lot of games, particularly games with heavy movement and shooting things like Titanfall. Titanfall is the one that I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah.
Aiming with a mouse, like, obviously way better, right? Moving your character with the keyboard didn't feel as good as with the controller.
Yeah.
Right? And
welcome
to your nightmare.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you gravitated toward that so strongly.
I want best aiming with optimal movement. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see. I'm probably going to give this a try.
Yeah, you
you shouldn't. No one listening to the sound of my voice should get into Warframe.
You're making the same noises you make whenever you fucking get in something.
Deep.
Speaking of getting in, let's get into our sponsor, shall we?
Yeah, let's get in there.
Let's do it.
Who's it this week, Wooly?
It's about student loans.
Yes.
And if you have student loans, let me start at the beginning, all right? It's very simple. Student loans.
Man, I've got all the student loans I'm still paying off, Wooly. What can I do about
that? They can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on that. And
that's right.
You can do it with Credible.com. So the way you do that is basically head on over to Credible.com/Friendcast. You answer a few quick questions, and right away you'll find out if you're overpaying. You can check it out. You can check your rates. It doesn't affect your credit score. And it can help you save on your payments. Almost $19,000 over the life of their loan on average is what the average Credible user saves with Credible.com/Friendcast. So for a limited time, you can head on over to Credible.com/Friendcast and save up to $200 on a welcome bonus for refinancing.
Right, that nice welcoming bonus.
Exactly. So if you have student loans and they're doing dirt and they're hurting,
Lord knows, I imagine some people that listen to this podcast
might want to check it out and consider that might be a good thing for you. Thank you, Credible.com/Friendcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Credible.
The podcast is also sponsored by Casper.
Oh, hey, Casper. What up?
Casper is, you know him, it's about that sleep time. It's about that bedtime. It's about that nappy time.
That happy being a ghost.
That nappy
Everyone
time.
Sleeps.
You have to sleep. You can't avoid it.
It's unfortunate. Sometimes you wish you could. It would be nice if you could just, you know, get shit done all the time forever.
I'll be real. I wish I was asleep right now. I'm tired.
Today is National Napping Day or some shit.
I wish you were asleep right now too, Pat.
It is.
However, if you're going to be spending time getting sleep done, you might as well get your sleep done comfortably and right and do it on memory foam. And how you do that is by getting yourself a Casper mattress. My Casper mattress is still the way I sleep every night. That shit works.
I'm going to get mine this year.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. You got three mattress models to choose from. The Casper Original, the Wave, and the Essential. You've got the...
I thought it would be the Ascension.
Ascension would be a pretty good name. Like your bed lifts you up.
God Slayer.
Tell you what, you wake up feeling like you're ready to ascend your busy work day. Breathable design helps you sleep cool. And of course, it's delivered straight to your door in that crazy ass package that opens up from the box. It makes no sense. You put it in the place where your bed is, you cut it open, and then it just goes fwah. It's crazy.
Cool.
Pumph.
So, if you head on over to casper.com/friendcast and use the code friendcast to check out, you save $50 on your new mattress purchase. And that's not that you can shake stick at that money. That's good money. You can do a lot with $50. Yeah.
Yeah. I could do a lot with $50.
Sure could.
Mm-hmm. So, I can spend it on Warframe.
You can spend it on Warframe.
Or your save student loans.
Your $50 by heading on over to casper.com/friendcast. Thank you, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
Let's get into
good reads. Good reads.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Excellent.
We're getting better at them.
What are we going to do on the bed, Wooly? Pumph. Sleep.
Well, it's the part where you talked about taking out the package and it expanding. There's like, I was like, I wanted to yell out like, oh, like a dick.
I know something about that.
But like,
it concerns my penis.
But then I didn't, because that would have been rude.
You still kind of did it.
Yeah, but it's later now.
It's true.
You have to cut your dick out of your pants.
It's packed in there.
Be careful not to dig too deep. Don't want to pop your balls. All that gas in them.
All the gas and pee will come out.
Matt, what'd you do this week, Matt?
Didn't do too much. Played a game or two, but I did want to talk about my trip to New York very, very briefly, because I just fucking straight up forgot. Last time, because I went to the New York Toy Fair.
Did you get a big Godzilla toy?
I did not, because it is not a thing. It's not a place at all that you can buy things at all.
What?
But I did wind up getting a Godzilla.
Yeah, okay.
At Image Somehow Anime, which was a couple of blocks away. But yeah, it was invited there.
Oh, yeah,
by,
I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. I was invited by a friend there, and it's not for the public to go in. It's actual trade show where tradesmen go, rah, 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 rah.
Here's my new toy.
It will kill less children than before. But
that's
I was
how they
really,
talk over there, Matt. Should yeah, make fun of it.
That's how businessmen talk in the toy industry. But I was kind of disappointed because I'd say like 20% was what me and Wooly would be like, ooh. Yeah. And the other 80% is like children's toys and like backyard and like jungle gyms and things, and I'm like, oh,
it's a broader,
it's a trade show
than you expected.
Yeah,
jungle gyms are cool.
Even though it's Toy Fair, it's like, no, it's more like under certain age time waster fair. This is just anything basically, and like 20%
deadly lawn darts.
Yeah,
sure.
Less deadly,
sure,
but did it make
this
up
Toy Fair is pedestrian?
Did it make up by seeing Vile in his ride armor? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that was on display, and I want that real bad.
You mean Vava?
Vava?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, Vava?
You on drugs?
Never mind.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Is that the designation of the ride armor?
It's in Japanese. His name is Vava.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Vile's so much cooler.
But his name is Vava because Vava sounds the same as Baba. And Baba, Boba Fett, his helmet.
It's his helmet.
Yeah.
That's like
Baba Boom.
Three or four steps too far.
Yeah.
Japanese man. You know Rockman, don't you?
I know Rockman.
True.
Why is that so extreme?
Yeah. Now, when you put in that context.
It's not that weird.
Well,
anyway.
Because that's zero steps.
It's okay. It's all right. We've explained it. Now everybody knows.
But it was still fun walking around and seeing stuff. And I had a great fan meetup with a bunch of people at the Manhattan Barcade, which had Street Fighter the movie, the game.
Fuck yeah.
So I had a couple of drunken fights with that and big
Wait,
ups.
You had fights with the machine?
Yes. I lost.
There you go.
Big ups to Frenchie, Agent Trash Fire, Brooklyn, and Emmy, who were all there and kind of took care of me and pointed me in the right places because I had a few too many, which was rough the next day when I'm just walking around Manhattan just going, where do I... Oh, man, I don't know where to go to eat. Like, where... also, Satch, too.
There's luckily a lot of gutters you can pass out in New York.
I wasn't to, like, pass out status,
but
I
was... The ones
with
the steam coming out of them.
Yeah, yeah, I love the steam.
What's up, America? How come your streets just give off ball gas?
I like it.
It's all the Morlocks.
Where do you think it all
cooking?
Goes?
Because it's what I grew up looking at in movies. Yeah, steam comes out of the ground. Everyone knows that.
The giant alligators, Leela's parents, the Morlocks, they all are fucking... They're all vaping down there,
and we're getting the blowback or whatever.
That's how the Morlocks mutated, because all the ball gas is down there. They get exposed, and over time, nature lends itself to their creation.
You know, ball gas is...
Things can spawn out of
the
it.
The name of... The main of the character
of a band?
In Escaflowne in the first episode.
Oh my god!
The old man with that's a badass with
Balls
a huge
gas.
Sword. Because his name is his.
I fucking hate this poll.
His name is Valgus.
I hate
Valgus,
it.
Because it's supposed
this.
To be Vargas, but they can't see
no.
it, so it just turns
Impossible.
Into Balgas.
I fucking hate that you made that poll accurately.
Mm.
Go on.
But yeah, it was a good time there. And the first thing I saw Satch, and the first thing I asked him is like, "How come whenever I come to this fucking city, there's not cops eating pizza handcuffed to criminals that are also eating pizza, like in the start of Ninja Turtles 2? No one's eating pizza on the street corners. Every time I come, I'm very disappointed." And he's like, "What do you want from me? What do you want me to say?"
Most of the most of the street meat I saw was like the
never pizza
meat on a stick.
Yeah, it's meat on stick. Yeah. But I guess pizza is a chokehold, and like you have to
street
eat
meat does not sound appealing.
Yeah,
for me to say that.
It's more appealing when you actually eat it.
It's
when you say
really
it,
tasty.
It's good.
It is.
So it was a good time. And back home here, I've been just working on a lot of stuff. But what I did get a chance to play is, have you heard of Super Seducer?
Yes, I have.
In fact,
I heard that Sony doesn't want to publish it.
Sony doesn't want to publish it is an understatement, where it's like... Where it's like Steam is like, yeah, we don't fucking care. Look
yeah,
at what
doesn't
we
give a shit.
Look at what we put out. There's like... Oh, did you hear that? What? That was another anime titty game that just came out on Steam. Oh, there it goes again, you know. But Super Seducer is, in case people don't know, is an FMV game where this douchebag British
dude...
So
that is what I'm thinking of. It's that guy that got in trouble.
Yeah. And he tries to give you advice. And it's the most... It's the room of video games where... Here's the scenario.
That's quite the claim.
A woman is walking outside in the suburbs in midday. How do you approach her to have a date? A, you shouldn't. That's not how dating should normally go. But the scenario presents itself regardless. And it's like, stop and talk to her. And it's the most stilted, non-human conversation that's ever had, where he's like, oh, I was going to go see some friends. And then the choices pop up and it's like, do you want to come with me to see my friends? You look very nice today.
That is the most suspicious.
This is exactly what you're looking at.
Ignore that and continue talking.
And his other response is, can I look up your skirt and go down on you right now? And you will click on that because, of course, you want to see what happens. And it's hilarious. But the game doesn't end or whatever. It goes back to the douchebag that's sitting in his bedroom. And for a wrong answer, he's alone in the bedroom. He goes, ha ha, very funny, but you need to be serious about this. Then it brings you back to the choice.
So you don't actually see it play out.
No, you see a little bit. You see a little clip.
Okay.
Where she goes, what? Gross. Fuck off. And she leaves. And he's like, what? And then
right,
it cuts them
right,
in the bedroom.
Right, right.
Then
I think it would be funnier if the conversation continued.
Yeah.
It's like you're on a down streak with me, mister. You need to pick up this conversation.
I'm going
to
give you one more chance. Then if you do an answer that he feels is kind of acceptable, you then progress forward. But now two girls will be added into the bedroom, but they'll be fully clothed and be looking away.
What are they, like prizes? Are they like trophies? They just stand there?
They're there as player encouragement. And if you get his fully complete right answer, speaking of which, one of the right answers in a later scenario was, what are you doing? Like, hey, what's up? Who are you? And he goes, oh, don't worry about me. I'm gay. And he goes, this is a thing you can do sometimes. It's like, pretend you're gay.
Yeah.
And this be works like, hey, look, woman. Let me touch your legs. It's okay. I'm gay.
Yeah, we knew that guy.
And Leanna's freaking out. And she's like, that's not the right answer.
Yeah.
But it
or you're
is.
Having sex with her, and you're like, hey, I'm just I'm gay. We're just doing this as friends.
Not. I'm checking,
doing you a favor.
Girls are amazed by this behavior.
How far we've come since
works.
Night trap.
Now that you've given the right answer, those girls in the bedroom are now wearing underwear, and
there
they look
you,
very happy.
You've earned it.
But in one shot, I saw a girl clearly pushing her phone under the pillow because she was looking at it. It was somewhere in there. So... that was a really good time, actually. Some of his advice was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's how you should
approach this.
That's
something a human might do.
That's something a human might do, but a lot of it was like, I don't know. And it still has this skeezy undertone. Now, he does say stuff like, you should respect women. And then he'll go back to the choices where it's like, but I'm trying to bang this bird I don't even know.
You know, I've never heard of someone making something that is meant to make money off them selling advice on how to get laid, not being sleazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a positive example of
that. Actual job is dating guru.
I sincerely don't think
that's a real job.
That's what he calls himself. I saw a question to him about, like, he asked to respond to this, what do you think about the PS4 version being blocked? And his quote was, I have no words. I don't even want to think about it.
So this is part two of the Guy Game trilogy then.
Yeah.
And eventually it'll all come to a head.
It's less crass. It's honestly
well,
less
also,
crass.
Well, also, this one's not
going
to get pulled down for accidentally being child pornography.
There was also some answers there were some answers that were so funny, like, oh, shit.
Did your console accidentally print child porn?
There were some answers that were so funny that I'm like, okay, that's legit, like, entertaining as a thing. It was like... a girl was like, oh, I really like animals. It says, say you're into dog fighting right away. And he's like, yeah, I'm really, really into dog fighting. What kind of dog do you have? She's like, it's like a German Shepherd. Oh, do you think your dog can beat my dog? Let's see. And I'm like, it's...
And he just has the dog with him in his arms.
No, but then it would be like, quote John Lennon and then burst into song. Like... creep behind the couch. And there's an answer where he's behind the couch just going, oh, and the girls are sitting on the couch going, what's going on?
This doesn't seem like a realistic
Matt,
piece
could
of
you,
advice to get.
Yeah. Could you do a favor for our audio listeners and describe the appearance of this gentleman?
This gentleman has three different appearances. In the main menu, he has like kind of a bit of a stubble. He looks like a bad Orlando Bloom, like a cracked out Orlando Bloom. Then when he's in the game doing the answers, he kind of has a fullish beard and he has kind of shaggy hair and he kind of looks a little pasty, a little on the thin side.
A child between Liam and Jesus, perhaps?
I'd say so.
Yeah, I can
but
see that.
His final form is when he's in the bedroom,
full hipsterism.
Has a big, nasty, knacker Joaquin Phoenix beard, has glasses on. And is wearing like a tux, and he looks like he dropped like another 30 pounds, and he looks kind of anorexic.
I'm pretty disappointed that his final form is not him wearing a giant fuzzy hat that's meant to garner attention.
Yeah.
But at no point does the term neg get used in play.
No. And it's really confusing about where it takes place because he meets a lot of girls with different accents, but they talk about different countries and they talk about America like they're not in America. Well, I have no idea where it's supposed
like
to take place.
It looks like the street they're on is like a CG backdrop, honestly.
I don't know where it takes place. And the girls' accents change wildly.
Because you said, I forgot what name you said his job is.
Yeah, dating guru.
Yeah, and not pickup artist. Right?
Yes, because that's not. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
After 3 hours of gameplay, like, still hadn't even gotten halfway through it.
So you're saying there's a lot of value here.
There's a lot of value. A new DLC was added last night, which was called the First Kiss DLC. Richard and his band of experts tell you how to get from point A to the kiss in record time.
Wow.
There's amazing. A market.
Maybe we should check that out. Is that on
There's
our docket?
A market.
That is for Ed Reed's tonight.
Is that, it's not. No, it is not. I don't believe so. But it was a fun time. It's not like horribly offensive, but it's skating really close to it.
This is a current PC hot exclusive.
This came out last week. Yeah. So yeah, that's.
But you haven't reached the end yet.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. If there's a good or bad ending.
He could be like evolving into a true hobo, where he's just become a stick, but his beard doesn't engulf his face.
I feel like I would be way more interested in like a fucking DLC expansion that it's like how to lie to your partner about how come they got a venereal disease from you or some shit like that.
Like not just dating, but
relationship thing for dirtbags. Yeah.
One of the answers was, what do you do in your spare time? And one of the answers was, I enjoy inflicting pain on others.
Treat my massive chlamydia.
And you'd think he'd go, I enjoy inflicting pain on others. But no, it's like a fucking Mass Effect game where he says something completely different. And then after three or four sentences, he drops the bombshell and then continues with that line of thought. And the girl's just looking around the club, just begging for help. I'm not sure if they were actresses.
So the Fallout 4 mod to change the dialogue hasn't gotten there yet?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shame.
Super Seducer. Don't check it out.
That sounds...
Watch my stream upload of it.
Test results, DLC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How to dodge
pregnancy. If it works, it works.
Make the call.
How to give the doctor a fake blood sample for the paternity test. Like, all that cool shit.
Remember from that video where
to be fair,
told you she's pregnant, and then Wooly's on the phone, and he's just like, he just puts the phone down and hides under the coats or whatever.
I forget, but I vaguely recall something.
You couldn't do it. You kept laughing.
Laughing under the coats. Something funny, just a pile of coats jiggling with Wooly's laugh coming out of it. I'm not the father.
Not this time.
Okay.
To be fair, though, none of us are super seducers, so he could be onto something we just wouldn't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, but I had a hack. I had a girl playing with me, and she was like, 90% of this is garbage.
Yeah.
Well, what do they know?
Well, because she, like, clubbed for 10 years straight.
That wouldn't work on me at all. Would it? Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
No.
I don't know.
No,
I'd
wouldn't.
Just be like, hey, girl, you want to see some frame data?
By the way, in all these scenarios, he presents himself, I work in IT.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you want to see where the gas is made?
trying to think of something even worse.
It's squeeze like, it and I'll make a clown honking noise. They don't tell you that in high school.
You want? Don't worry, girl. The hurt box doesn't extend as far as the hit box.
I see my rush down.
That's better.
Not bad.
Oh, what's the worst one?
Hey.
I think frame traps.
Check out my Oki. I'll pressure you on wake up. What?
That sounds bad.
I'll there you go. You on
okay, wake how up. Clean there was that go. Rip?
All right.
Someone roll with that.
All right.
Oh!
If she breathed,
you thought.
All right.
Pressure you on wake up.
How'd your week go, Pat?
Oh, let's see. I didn't play anything fancy. I finished IT Crowd, and the season finale of IT Crowd is horrific to me personally. Wooly, have you seen it? Matt, have you seen it?
I have.
The season finale, the series finale of IT Crowd is Jen and Roy get caught in a viral video,
The
world turns against them. And fucking the news and Anonymous and all this shit start coming after them. And they say something stupid on Twitter. And it was much too real.
Wow.
That's never happened to any of us.
Not yet, it hasn't. But yeah, great show. Once again, fucking England, make longer series. You can blow through every English series in like a second.
Yeah, but it's also, it's like know when to quit as well.
Yeah, I know. There's got to be an in-between between Britain and England. Britain and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be. I also played a bunch of Vermintide 2, which, if you're unfamiliar with it, here's a real short description. You know Left 4 Dead?
No.
Okay. Oh, All right, let's try this again.
Analogy over.
Use another one.
Yes.
You know how you shoot guns in Left 4 Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead you swing swords.
Well, this is more for Willy because I played a decent amount of Vermintide
1. I've watched the dudes play Vermintide.
You swing swords and it's good.
This is for the podcast.
And the
I thought you were going to say that you swing rats.
No, you swing your swords at the rats.
Just big rats. It'd be more entertaining if you swung giant rats at an army of menacing swords.
Oh, man. Like a rat flail? That'd be amazing.
That wouldn't last very long.
A rat flail would be fucking sick.
Game's great. There's a shit ton of levels, and they're all a lot more expansive than the first games. The addition of the Chaos Faction is fantastic, not just because rats got a little dull in the first game, but because they represent a consistently varied type of enemy. Like, there are now, like, in Left 4 Dead, you had, like, the generic zombie was maybe 99.9% of all enemies that you would fight. And in Vermintide 2, you have three lower forms of rats and, like, two or three lower forms of chaos guys, and they all have their different properties and group sizes and shenanigans.
Vermintide is the Warhammer game, isn't it?
Yes,
one
it
of
is.
Many.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's very, very, very Warhammer-y.
But it's not 40K.
No, it's Warhammer.
It's Warhammer.
Yeah. It is kind of weird that they went with them rather than the millions of other races. I guess I can see why.
It's because the Skaven, like Vermintide, is a thing that already existed in the Warhammer fiction.
Yeah.
And it's like, the moon's going to get close, and the fucking rat guys are going to go fucking crazy, and they're going to swarm over all the humans, and they're going to kill them. And they're like, well, this is me assuming, well, rats are kind of like zombies, or at least they can fit the bill for a giant swarming mass of enemies that are seemingly infinite and super weak compared to your characters.
Until the Rat King shows up.
Oh, you mean the Rat Ogre?
I meant the Rat
King.
Just
trying to do a Rat King reference.
There's a Rat Ogre, though.
Isn't he a Morlock?
Rat King is kind of a Morlock.
He kind of was.
He does have the power to control rats.
He really did.
So it is a mutant power.
It is kind of like a, yeah. It wouldn't be a stretch. Certainly wouldn't.
We should explore this at a future date.
But yeah, game has really great melee combat. Like Matt, you said you played Vermintide 1. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
The main differences are they expanded the levels a lot, and they expanded the class and weapon structure a lot. So it has a loot system that is actually very similar to Destiny, which I did not expect at all. But it's a hell of a lot of fun. And it's also super cheap. It's like $28. And it's got like 16 giant levels and all this new stuff. I've been having a blast playing it in co-op.
Did you have any technical problems with it? Because I recall installing the first... Like, I tried to play the first one, but I installed it and it just would not run on my PC, which was very strange.
I did not have that problem with Vermintide 1. I played the closed...
I remember that you didn't.
...and public beta for this game, and those betas were real. They were real betas. There was some fucked up broken UI shit in it. Like, the beta that was out, like, up until the last day before game release had the fucking phrase, state is trusted, in the upper left corner of the screen at all times. The only problem I've had with this game so far is that there's a bug with the launcher where if you're running at 4K, the launcher hides itself in the corner. So I just tab and hit enter, and then I get in. But aside from that, smooth sailing. Game runs better than the first game, particularly if you use the DX12 client. It's great.
Did you ever fix your problem with KOTOR 2?
Nope.
Full screen?
Nope.
You didn't? Okay.
Hell nope.
In fact, it got worse.
Now my house is on fire.
Vermintide 2 is a blast, and anybody who is looking for a Left 4 Dead style game or a co-op game or a melee fighty game, like, it's a ton of fun. It's cheap.
Or if you're into the Warhammer.
Yeah. It's, well...
But not 40K.
There's a lot of really fucking bad Warhammer games.
There's a lot. We talked about this last week.
There are. You guys should do a Space Marine LP.
This
That'd
is a really
fun.
Good one.
Well, I it sounded always like there were a lot more 40K fans than there were Warhammer fans.
There still is a lot more 40K fans,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
much more of a 40K fan than... But,
it's more visible.
But for a melee combat-focused game, 40K would be stupid. Because then it would literally just be Left 4 Dead.
It'd just be chainsaws.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they have their bolters, and they have their all that shit. And in fact, there is a...
Saw swords. Where are they?
Chainswords.
Chainswords.
There is a similar game to this called Deathwing. not to be not to be confused with the Warcraft dragon that is bad, is really bad.
And a Space Hulk.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. With a name like Deathwing, how could it be bad?
I don't know, but it's bad.
It's a money
Wing
name.
Of Death.
If you're looking at Deathwing, get Vermintide instead.
Winged Fang.
The Dawn of War games, Dawn of War 1 and 2 are good. Space Marine is good. Vermintides are good. And
Dawn of War 3, I wonder if they ever improve that.
And if you like Total War, the Total War games are good. But aside from that, it's pretty much all trash, especially the MMO.
Killblade.
And Fire Warrior, holy shit, that game is terrible.
Yeah. I think the worst is that mobile game. That fucking mobile like side scroller that came out for PC.
Which one's that?
Oh, it came out on mobile phones, and then they just ported it to Steam all of a sudden, and Jim Sterling played it. He's like, oh, this is the worst. This might be the worst one. I forget the name of it, but who cares?
Okay, I'll tag in there.
Hey, man, what up? Hey, Willie. How was your week, Willie?
Did you recover from your death state?
I recovered my death state. And
your death wing.
Then
your Casper Mattress death wing.
And I went to the States, actually. I was out of town for a little bit there. But so I had some, like, time to, like, you know, do things that weren't involved with my arcade stick.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished off Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah.
And woo, Wolf.
How do?
Worf.
I'm still at the same spot that I was at last time. Paige just haven't gotten around to it. It's like, man, that is hyper violent.
Middle of it?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Right in
dead
the middle.
Dead center.
Okay.
Well, right when the girl goes to the club, and then okay. That's the end of
okay.
the episode.
Yeah. So that is oh boy. Well, now that that's
I think you reviewed it by saying
there was
Worf.
Yeah. And there was another thing. There's another really.
I also associate Worf.
There's an interesting conversation to have when it comes to what was inspired by, Devilman later on, and definitely like to see how like this is a you know somewhat retelling of like the original story, mm-hmm. And it's a conversation that like we'll have to have after you finish it.
Okay.
But
so you're saying it inspired Evangelion?
I'm saying it inspired a couple things. But one thing that's really I enjoyed it. I definitely did enjoy it, and like I didn't know it was a retelling. You know, I only caught that after the fact when I went back and like was digging for an hour after I finished it off. But like yeah, there's only like I'd say like there's definitely like like one of the complaints is kind of like your main character really just goes along with the ride a whole lot.
In some kind of ridiculous ways even early on.
The whole way through, he's really just like...
No, but what I mean is like very early on, there's a moment where some nefarious shit occurs.
Yeah.
And he's like, how could you? And then the scene just jumps and then they're hanging out eating dinner.
And it definitely is weird shit. Yeah, right? And like that's a whole lot of what you're seeing in that. And
he's
that's
a devil, man.
And that's pretty much in its staying accurate to the original, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, he fucking loves being devil man. He's too caught up being devil man to be concerned about this other stuff.
There's definitely that. And there's also a thing this will do at some point where I've talked about it a couple times in the past, but it's this thing that I've only seen in anime, and it's moments of way too much stress and importance put on social media, right? The importance of somebody posting online and everyone on the forums are talking about it. I think I made a tweet a while ago about like yeah, various little things of just this crazy scary phenomenon happened and everyone didn't. No one knew what was happening, but the forums were with
Persona
rumors.
Persona 5 is rife with that.
And it's just always referring to the forums and the oh no, like something happened in class today and then everybody on the BBS later on.
Forums.
And it's like, fucking relax, man. That's not the rest of the world.
Nah, man.
Nobody gives that much
of a
shit.
How do you know the kids of today aren't like that?
And there's sometimes there's sometimes in anime where like massive social change will like start from someone's post somewhere, or you know what I mean? Like, they'll put
someone made a forum post, had a funny picture.
That's pretty much it, right? And I'm like, that's fucking horseshit every time.
How
nobody cares.
Do you know that the kids of today aren't like that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there definitely are things where there's like a little documentary about like high school girls using Twitter, and how like if someone clicks like on something, like, or does, if your friends don't click like within a certain time frame, that means they hate you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And like, so, and like also if something doesn't get enough likes within a couple hours, they pull the picture down.
Yeah.
And then like there's
low tier god streaming use the guide. Like system.
It's so there is a whole language that is fucking
are we still talking about Devilman?
Anyway, so no, I'm branching off into this other topic, but
is there anything that you can include in a narrative that completely makes the tone of your story impotent, other than including stupid modern bullshit about forum posting or searching for the ghost on Google?
It's a really strong one, because it wouldn't be so bad if it were just like a detail. That is like, oh, by the way, also people have been concerned about this.
No, it's always the fucking crux.
But it's always so much weight on the anonymous voices online, and everyone feels the pressure.
Devil man, your dick pics got uploaded. No,
you know, and not only that, but like the speed of change too. You know, it's like everyone sees the tweet immediately.
Oh, dude, anime is fucking wild with that.
It's hyper
shit.
Time. It's hyper time.
It's like everything. Like every fucking anime that has to do with some bullshit always ends like. And then a wave of social change went over the earth, VR MMOs were banned.
Like. The only times I will be convinced is when you handle it like that one episode of Black Mirror. There's an episode of Black Mirror that's pretty much about Twitter.
You mean all of them?
Yeah.
But no, there's one though.
There's one specifically.
Right. Yeah. And like you're like, yeah, that's how you make it work, and that's how social change internet usage. But what?
No, I'm just trying to shitpost about what if your mom ran on battery.
But
was also Twitter.
I know, and so aside from unfortunately,
what's wrong with you?
Aside from falling into that like sad little
if your
trap
parents
a little
were
bit,
just Twitter robots?
I definitely thought it was all right, but like, yeah, the main character definitely needs to behave in a like rational manner that someone who has a friend that's doing shitty things would do.
That does sound a little bit like Evangelion.
Yeah. We'll get into it more when you finish.
We'll get into more of that later.
Later.
I watched Your Name. That is a very good movie. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I did
very
too.
Good movie.
Grab your
I made my
one.
Mom watch it.
My loved one watched it with me and hated it.
And your loved one hates me because I liked it.
That's right.
Your loved one has no soul.
That's correct. The whole movie is like, why isn't she just running and leaving them to die? I'm like, really, bitch? Jesus.
No.
It is one of those movies where if you focus too much on, like, if you're not completely immersed and you don't care about that, all the details will start dragging you away from it. And you're like, how come they just don't do this? Or did they really not notice this in 5 fucking years or whatever it's been?
What I liked about it was that going in completely cold and not knowing anything about where it was going to go, I was surprised to see like the initial premise introduced in the way it was. I was like, oh, it's one of these movies.
Yeah.
And then it's not one of those movies at all. You think you can call out what it is and where it's going, and you actually can't. And
I had the exact same experience when I watched it on the plane. It was like, oh, this is that movie, huh?
This kind of thing. I've seen one of these before, or four.
Is this the one that J.J. Abrams optioned to make into live action?
Hell yeah.
I think it's the one.
Oh, that would make sense.
They want to make it in America, which when I saw the movie, I pointed it out. Like, I can't think of a fucking movie that is more important that it's Japanese than this movie.
Yeah, how's that American scene of them going to the festival where she barfs up alcohol into a thing? Like, what?
It could be at a church.
They could make changes, but they'd be embarrassing changes.
That'd be true. Fucking weird.
Let's not spoil anything, though. It's a very good movie that you should go watch if you haven't watched
barf
it.
Barf all that shit.
And I've had, there was at least like a solid 5 or 6 moments of pause, rewind, fucking look at how gorgeous that shot is.
Oh, it's really pretty.
The
really,
fucking animation really big, is pretty animu. So good. There's moments where they play with focus and where things are like photorealistic in their rendering quality. It's it's wow.
I read an interview with the director. He's like, yeah, we fucking
nailed
went
it.
Super cheap on a bunch of shots.
Really?
We like studio fucking ran out of money. We were, this thing was gonna look way better, but we had to make it look crappy. And everyone's like, what? You know that dream sequence in the middle that is like just
super painted animation.
Yeah, there was supposed to be like five times as much as the
sure.
And they were just like, there's no money to pay for this. There's, it's just not going to happen.
So, either way, I appreciated that, and I liked the Japanese folk soundtrack as well. That was pleasant.
Yeah, good movie.
Good movie. That's Your Name, Kimi no Na wa.
Yeah.
Check unless you're out. Some sort of monster.
Yeah, unless you're some sort of heartless monster.
Some sort of mustard-infested
no love and has bad taste in movies. Somehow.
Devouring condiments from a trough like an animal.
It's getting real. and
I'm out of here. I never fucking get out.
What else you got?
I spent a bit of time on the Switch version of Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah,
how checking is that? Out how that's going, and it worked out. It's thank God the Switch has a touchscreen because that game with button prompts only gets really complicated at points. There's a lot of like you don't think about it. You just move the mouse over here and click on a thing.
But is it a combination? Like you choose on the outset? I want just
touch screen. You can touchscreen at any time.
Oh, okay,
so that saves all of the problems, okay. Right? But if you just had a D-pad and buttons to navigate that menu, there's so many things to click on at any time on the screen.
How did you play the original? With a keyboard? A
computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, and you don't even need the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
There's one thing that uses the keyboard, and it's to sell items on the main menu. Not a menu, on your like your HUD, whatever. Your blah. You can sell items when you're at home.
Right.
But outside of that, you can use the mouse for everything else.
Okay.
So,
because I played the PS4 version, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And wait, what are we talking about?
Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, okay.
And I guess you just were fine moving around and, yeah, I mean.
But if I don't know.
Yeah, if you don't know, then yeah, sure.
If you don't know, then now you know.
Because there's stuff where I was really like going like, wow, like. You hold like a R2, for example, and then it highlights your characters on the right bar, and then you have to then move the D-pad while holding that button, select one, drag them over to the main thing, and then the slot that they go into, whether it's position 1, 2, 3, or 4, is like it orders them in terms of like if you have two guys in, you can't go straight to the fourth slot. It's always going to go to the third,
right?
And then, but you might, you know, there's little things like that where you're like, all you had to do originally was drag that box over there. But now you have,
got to make some concessions on the controller.
And
we're talking about Darkest Dungeon, Pat.
Yeah, I know.
And there's also
you're talking about the weird controls on the Switch.
And there's also and there's also parts where you open up your character's window with their stats and stuff, and then you'll open up an inventory window with items on it over that window. But now you're using no mouse to control those things, you know. So you're dragging items from one to the other. It really definitely like. Yeah, having that touchscreen saves it quite a bit. It's fine in the end, but I feel like that game is limited by the scope was definitely to never leave PC, it feels like. Yeah. And then this is a retrofit.
But hey, you got to get it on the go.
You do get it on the go. Like you got StarCraft on your N64. You know, You got not on the go, but you got it on your TV. If you needed it, then it was there for you, and this is like that. But otherwise, it's still great, and it's amazing how fast you can. I was worried about all the time spent being like, "Oh fuck, I got to start from scratch," you know. But like when you know what you're doing, you can blaze through it really quick.
Right. You know? Well, especially you.
So, man, that remains as good as ever. Oh, man. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. Let's talk.
Darkest Dungeon's a good game.
It's a good game.
It's a very good game.
It's a game that was made for me that I don't want to play.
Yeah, it was, huh?
Why is that?
I don't know. It's got that feeling for me.
Like, I don't think I'd...
Wow, I would, like, this is so I wouldn't on have the to try nose very for hard. Me to like that I don't like it.
It's just one of those things, like Darkest Dungeon, if you play Darkest Dungeon, don't get too attached to anyone that's in that game. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things for me. I put a lot of emphasis on building things up and progress in that respect, so whenever you have a game like that,
but
it just tears all of it away.
But it makes it so much more awesome when you do have a cast that, like, stays in and mm-hmm. is doing well.
And actually does work.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you learn how to play the game, like, you can...
How to play the game.
You can, like, when you can survive. You can definitely survive, you know?
Into the Breach is sort of like that, too. Although it's not cranked up to 11 like Darkest Dungeon likes to do.
It doesn't... Darkest Dungeon isn't really cranked up to 11.
What's it cranked
it
up to?
It feels like it is.
Yeah, well, I guess it's more like a 9 or 8.
I mean, quite literally, it's cranked up to 6, right? Yeah. But it really... like it definitely... There's a point in the middle ground, and I imagine XCOM is kind of the same, where you like you hit your stride, mm-hmm. you know how to keep your guys alive, unless like... horrible RNG work, like, you know, comes into play, and or you just really under prepare for a mission, and you're pretty much in a state where, like, you will fail and your guys will get all fucked up, but they won't be dead. They'll just be, like, full of all kinds of plagues and diseases, which is gonna
take what Darkest Dungeon is missing. Darkest Dungeon needs an avatar project. Countdown.
I was actually looking at Game Maker's Toolkit, which is a fun little YouTube channel
Dark Events.
I just discovered about game design. And describe the XCOM positive feedback loop, which also applies to Darkest Dungeon, in that you get the ball rolling, and success is rewarded with more success. And if you, I've never played a Darkest Dungeon run where I got the ball rolling.
Okay,
it's always been failure compounded with more failure.
Okay,
and like
that's probably the cutoff point for a lot of people, that they can't get that initial roll, and that's what causes
the snowball,
people to have dissonance
so to speak.
With the game.
Yeah. I think a big it's kind of like when you're starting, like let's say it's the first time you're playing a Souls game and you just run up to an enemy like any other game. You just start swinging on it and then you go, oh, no, Rune Awakening. No. The piece of knowledge that you need for Darkest Dungeon is to absolutely target and annihilate anyone that fucks with your stress before anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
It used to be even worse.
That's the piece of information that you don't know going in, that you think you're like, oh, they're just casters. And it's like, no.
You worry about your health.
Murder the stress inducers before anything else.
Yeah, like, fuck your health.
Yeah.
Let them have your health. Don't let them stress you out.
Exactly.
Just like real life is a statement.
But then you overcome, right? Then you become...
No.
You
eventually succumb. Yeah. Always. Just like real life.
And at
I'll put a cute kitten picture under that one.
Yes. And at some point, the diseases get way too expensive to cleanse. And then...
It's an expensive disease. I don't know.
Just dump them in the pit.
Yeah.
That's
where Super Seducer comes into play.
Yeah, he can hang out in the pit. Hey, man, I've got all the most expensive diseases.
Only the most luxurious diseases.
For me.
Imported from France.
Designer diseases.
I caught hemophilia from
you caught it?
The British. Yeah.
So what happened in the last 7 days in video games?
Oh, there's been some stuff.
I have the T-virus. That's so last year.
Fucking Alfred Ashford.
That's kind of what I was doing.
Yeah.
So,
people did used to install tapeworms in their bodies.
Yeah, that helps you lose weight.
Yep.
That's right.
There's still places where they do.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tapeworms.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Speaking of ball gas tapeworms. Man, a tapeworm that lived in your balls.
Perfect.
It's a hell of a long ejaculation.
There was a Nintendo Direct.
Does the tapeworm come out?
Yeah.
And they covered a lot of things on that Nintendo Direct that we should probably talk about.
Like a party favor.
Hey, man. There's only one thing to talk about. Stop making 3DS games. Stop it.
That's the only thing
to
talk about.
Let's stop making money is what you want to say.
The Switch is out. The 3DS doesn't need to exist anymore.
You know who cares?
Nintendo.
Companies.
I'm sure.
Every 3DS announcement is
an attack. I don't want these 3DS games.
Every 3DS announcement is an attack on a Switch owner. That's what the problem is.
But when someone pointed out to me, like, no, it sells as good in Japan as it ever did, I'm like, oh, that's not going to stop then.
Japan's not a real place. Everyone knows that.
I know, but...
I know. Eli.
So obviously
I hate it.
Obviously we got memes coming in hard, coming in fast and strong.
Been the biggest meme creation in many time.
Because they know they're like, man, people are going to meme the shit out of this.
What are you staring at?
But which meme are we talking about?
Smash
the thing in the squidling's eye.
Okay.
What do you want to put in the eye today?
You put Basil Goose in there. Good job, Magma. That was a good one.
Put a picture of Shrek with Shrek's eye looking at Smash.
Yeah. You can
alternatively get a good picture of your cats. Put the Smash logo in.
Get Killer Queen. Put Killer Queen in the eye.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's such a shitty meme.
It's a good meme.
It's just an eye. I'm going to put an unrelated picture in the eye. And
Hell yeah, your meme.
You've described every meme.
I'm starting to suspect memes might be bad.
What? You shut your mouth.
No, the best
version. How can we use them as a currency if they're bad?
The best version of it is Mario running topless with his shirt off as your public picture, and then evil burning in the dark Mario as your private
account.
Smash 5 is a thing.
Yeah.
Is it?
It might be a port.
It's going to be Smash 4.5 if it is Deluxe, or it will be 5.
It's coming out right this year makes me think that it's got some old stuff in it.
I think it would make sense if it were Smash 4.5, and I think that would be fine.
Yep.
I was talking to Liam about this. You know what I would really like? I'd like a complete cutback. I want 20 characters cut.
What?
I do. I want Dark Pit gone. I want Dr. Mario gone. What? I want all these characters gone, and I want kind of like a third strike.
Yeah, well,
you want Mario and Link and all new characters.
You are alone, and your thoughts and money are not welcome to this scene.
Sure, but I
it's a crossover game.
Okay,
like
does Dark Pit need to be in it?
No, Dark Pit was like a bonus character that didn't cost the same amount of resources as a regular character.
They get rid of him.
But why?
Because it's lame.
But he didn't take not good enough reason away to
not good enough reason for okay. the community.
The
people that live, breathe, and die by this.
Now
game.
The game has 58 characters. I think you can cut a few.
No, you can add 10 more.
Double them.
I mean,
double the amount.
Like we've seen giant character select screens, man.
Like
Other fighting games get away with this all the time.
When they reboot, they got to start from scratch.
Marvel Infinite got slammed hard as fuck for not having the roster that it was supposed to have, including the X-Men.
To be fair, it's like the second
it's all fine and dandy in theory until your favorite character gets cut.
Yeah, basically.
I don't have a favorite character.
Well, right, because you...
But if you did, and
you're not
going
to play the game anyway.
It'd be annoying to...
Sure.
Cut Fox, just to make those people pissed off.
Yeah. I just mean, like, in a perfect world, I think Smash needs this, but it's not going to.
Nah.
In a perfect world, Smash wouldn't exist.
Damn. Oh. No, you know what I saw when I looked at that Direct Smash with all the other announcements, and then they do the Smash thing? I'm like, okay... What's the rule? Has to have appeared on a Nintendo console, right? Okay, that means Crash, Solaire, and any character you want from Undertale are now viable as third-party picks in Smash Bros.
Sure.
It's possible.
My thought, honestly, every time there's a Smash announcement, my thought is, damn, poor Sakurai. Right?
His hands continue to explode.
That poor guy is just trying.
I've been working on this secretly.
Trying to get out, and they won't let him. They keep pulling him back in.
What I do want realistically is that every character that does return is their new version. I don't want Mario. I only want Cappy Mario. I don't want Mario with Flood anymore.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
We're done with
yeah,
that.
No, that. I think that's
I don't
likely.
Want traditional it, well, Link. I only want Breath of the Wild.
So but in the trailer, he's got no hat.
But in the problem...
What do you mean? He does have a hat.
Not no, that fucking so trailer,
does okay, people have broken Who? Down these...
Link.
No, no, I thought you meant Mario.
No,
yeah.
no Link's his Look, Breath
no,
of the Wild.
No, but I don't want Link with a Breath of the Wild costume that does Link shit. I want Breath of the Wild Link that uses magnets and time-stopping.
Okay.
So, I want to get rid of old Link.
So Mario's not wearing Cappy. They've analyzed that, and they've seen it in the trailer, so it's like...
Yeah. No weird know. Eyeballs on that guy.
And Breath of the Wild Link might very well just be a new character... In the four, in Smash 4
oh,
as
be-
a thing, so that's a thing you could totally get.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if this is in fact 4.5, you're getting
how many Gokus are going to be inside this game?
Yeah. Well,
probably zero.
There's already several Goku equivalents inside it.
Yeah. It's
Link is the Goku.
No,
that is the Goku.
The,
right?
Mario's the Goku because they're all Goku.
Mario's Goku.
But yeah.
Yeah, but there's a ton of Links.
Sakurai right now.
There's two.
Sakurai right
I
now.
I mean, there's two in Smash.
Yeah. Is
tons.
Sakurai right now is Kojima in the middle of the franchise.
Yeah,
you know, and like he feels trapped, and like his interviews and him talking about this stuff, it's like he's still gonna make a fucking good game, but boy oh boy, does he want to do other things.
The statement that came out was like, "I'm just putting my head down and working hard," and like from a normally talkative interview person that screamed like, boy, I'm tired.
I mean, he got to make his Kid Icarus. He did get that, but I feel like he needs another one of those. Like, let me do whatever I want.
Let me ask you guys, would you just be happy with all the 3DS and Wii U stages and like a couple new characters and maybe five new stages? Would you be happy with that?
If it, like 4.5 in its definition, all the content that's out right now, plus a couple new things, that's fine by me.
I'd be very happy to like. Cause
that's totally fine by me.
The thing that always bugged me about the 3DS and Wii U versions is like the stages. There's so many fucking stages that are unique to each.
No, well, it's not just that, but it's also the fact that it's like the product is mainly coming out as a necessity to the console,
yeah.
and not because it's time for a new Smash.
Yeah,
and, you know?
And Smash for Wii U sold gangbusters, even though it was on the Wii U. So Smash on the Switch.
Honestly, yeah. I get the feeling that what they're doing is they've recognized there are so many games that were on the Wii or that are like the 3DS or whatever that people just didn't play because of that. And we know that if we take it over to the Switch, then it's going to sell. And people, the thing that they were actually interested in, but they felt like they couldn't play because they didn't want the system, now they can.
Yeah, basically.
So that's the reason why it's showing up now.
Are intrigued that this might just actually be Smash 5 just because, A, they didn't reveal a real logo. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff, like you know, little bits that were like, oh, Namco Bandai's not in the trademark thing. And they were like one of the primary workforces on Smash for Wii U.
It's
things like that.
It only feels unlikely because of how soon it is.
It's very soon.
It's not actually.
Well, it depends when they started.
It feels like it is.
But when did
Wii U come out?
It's not that. Think about when the last release of content was. Right?
Yes. That's that, which was not long ago.
So that's what it is.
Smash like, Final Mix.
Like every one of those guest characters has been popping up, like, you know, over time. It's been a supported platform for a while.
I want Urban Champion finally.
No.
Yep. Absolutely.
You can get an Urban Champion stage.
That's fine too.
So. The problem, though, is that characters like that are now going to be way on the back burner compared to full-on crazy guests from other franchises. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How many
Bayonettas and Clouds are going to take the place of Little Max and Duck Hunts.
Of course.
You know? Because that's the thing. So, and it makes sense because that brings more hype for people.
Liam was like, fucking replace Little Mac. I was like, with who? With Springman. I'm like... I'd be fine with that.
No, Springman should be a
character?
New character that
character.
Has different moves.
If you're going
to
replace a boxer,
but like, but once upon a time, I guess it's just,
I'd like to have
it's not
both
a problem,
as well.
But it's just more the idea that once upon a time it was like, oh, like get like Takamaru from Takamaru's Castle, for example, or you know what I mean? So what obscure old Nintendo character can you bring back and save? Right,
and also, it should be Ribbon Girl.
And now it's like, actually, what AAA character from another? Like franchise would work in this
Goku
in this
Rayman.
It's not a AAA.
Okay. Goku,
but you know
but
what
which
I mean.
Goku?
It would be a rabbit over Rayman.
It would be a rabbit over Rayman.
Literally the biggest, like the biggest success Ubisoft has had in Nintendo console. It would be. So.
Put Solaire in the game. They do made an amiibo for
him. Do you actually want that?
I absolutely 100% want that.
Oh my god, you and that.
And he's just a normal sword character with a down B counter?
Yeah, and also his ranged shit is lightning. He throws lightning.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, hey, you want Travis?
Plays just like Marth.
And you know what I want him to be? You know what I want his fucking Final Smash to be? I want his Final Smash to be he hits you with the sword and then like a sunbeam holds on him and he praises the sun. And then like 10 Solaires just, they're not T-posing. They're sun praising, but they start doing that Goku Black shit in that stupid pose all over, and it looks
fucking
terrible.
Or they start
flying
across the screen.
Yeah, in a Y pose instead of a T pose.
Just a tornado of praising the sun.
That's right. That's what I want.
Okay, good.
Some people are like, you want Travis in Smash, right? I'm like, no, Travis doesn't deserve to be in Smash game.
That's why he should be in Smash even more.
It's just like, yes. He's been on exclusively mostly Nintendo consoles except for one port, but I'm like, it's just, I don't know.
Every suggestion I'd about who should Nintendo be in Smash characters. It's they've all, like, that list is still there. You can just throw more names on it as we go further into the future, you know? It's
have
like
all of them be ignored.
Playing this game is like, there's no winners here.
It's time to get super mad about characters in Smash.
Travis would be fine in Smash as long as he has a purple jacket.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't want another sword character. Maybe we can get rid of one of the 17 Fire Emblem sword characters.
No one's going to get rid of nothing.
People love Fire Emblems.
Smash Fire
fans
Emblem?
Do complain about too many sword characters.
They
though.
Do.
They do.
Yeah.
And so when I said, hey, Solaire, people went, another sword character. I'm like, I don't care. Take out Marth.
Like,
I don't give a shit.
Well, no. You need to, like, you could say someone like Palutena and get the least amount of flack over it.
But Palutena's a unique character.
But those people will still come for your fucking house.
Are there any Toon Link people that will come to my
house?
There's
one, I'm sure.
Probably. Probably.
They'll probably hug
I'm
you,
not
though.
Afraid of those.
I'm sure there's dark pits out there. Yeah.
Are there?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scene. This game is played competitively, guys.
No matter how.
No, that's a lie.
No matter how.
Play this game a lot.
Okay, but they took out Street Fighter characters. For five.
Okay.
That's played competitively. What's the difference?
No. I'm talking about like a game where this is a new platform where you're starting from scratch. Those characters all have to be built from scratch versus one where they already exist, right? Okay. The idea of pulling them out when they already exist, if this is in fact 4.5, would drive people crazy. That'd be
ridiculous.
Well,
pull them out and then put them back in as DLC.
Yeah.
Street Fighter V, getting as many characters as 4 had, would mean the game would have taken a way longer to come out.
Matt, I see what you're
saying. It's a new system.
I see what you're saying, but you're comparing new Smash releases to something like Street Fighter II versus Alpha versus Third Strike, right? Where instead, all the Smash releases are essentially new Street Fighter II releases. The roster goes up until the system dramatically changes.
Well, maybe the system will dramatically
change. I doubt it ever will.
Yeah. It's too rabid, too crazy. It's too in there.
Well,
it's locked in.
Well, I think, like, you know, it has been actually like for whatever years it's been. Like, the fact that the DLC only came out for Smash 4 like last year. Bayonetta, maybe? I forget.
Bayonetta was the most recent character addition.
And
she got her amiibo and all that
shit. They're not like, changing the game dramatically.
No, they're not. They're definitely not.
Speaking of crossover stuff, do you have the
I was going to say, since you talked about it, we might as well get into the other story, which is like, yeah, there's going to be a Solaire amiibo.
Solaire!
And you
amiibo.
Use it to praise the sun in Dark Souls. And
what its application was really
bad. Sold out now, by the way.
Of course it is.
And it just lets you praise the sun in advance of actually getting the gesture.
That's correct.
And it'll be used for Smash.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All the money is now taken from everyone.
What is funny is the official account making that tweet where they're like, you can always praise the sun, or whatever. It's basically saying, like, you can always praise the sun for free, but to do it ahead of getting the gesture, you'll have to spend a bit of coin.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Here he comes.
I've been trying to decide if this amiibo is like the death of the original spirit of Dark Souls or not.
I figured most people that were super into Dark Souls would feel that about it. And all I can say is I understand where that's coming from, but at the same time...
But no
time,
one cares. Yeah.
But it's
because
like,
who really
why,
cares?
But it's also like, why wouldn't they like take the thing that was the most popular thing from their game that everyone recognizes and make turn it commodify it like this.
Remember,
like,
the thing that we were talking about at the start of the stream about how we kind of just become like marketed toys for everyone?
That's correct.
We're not even really people.
I'm a person.
Yeah. That's Solaire. Like, if he was aware of it. Yeah,
no, that's for sure.
Solaire.
It's total it's Dark Souls meme.
Did you know that Solaire is just a big meme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put him in the game as a meme. And they said, boy, I hope people will meme this character.
They will.
And they were right.
Tweeted out pictures going, meme this, like Snoop Dogg.
It's like they're looking at two pictures of two Dark Souls characters. They're like, which one should we make the amiibo for? Should we make it for Solaire? Or should we have this gaping dragon amiibo?
Oh, man. Gaping dragon amiibo would be so
amazing. It made it to the final cut.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah. For real, the other character that it could have been would have been Oscar, who's not even named in the game and dies in, like, 2 seconds. So, it's guy in the box.
The guy in the box.
But, yeah. Okay, nobody gives a shit about Oscar of Astora.
And how angry would, like, people at en masse be about it not being Solaire?
Also, Solaire gets to have a unique-looking amiibo because it's a person in a weird pose.
Mm. It should be a Framped amiibo. That's what it should be. Framped. Or Keth, whichever one you want.
It's kind of like...
You plug it into the game and it just makes a farting noise.
I am a snake.
Like, on the one hand, Dark Souls is there, yes, but on the other, it's kind of like... Like, what else? Where else was it going to go?
Yeah.
You know? What else were they going to do? Like,
of course... When are we going to get the Idol Master spinoff with Dark Souls? Dark Idol.
What else you got, Willie?
All right.
By Namco. I was about to ask, like, I noticed that we were talking about crossover games, and you see Geralt up there on the screen.
Yeah, he's going to be in Smash.
Did you see what CD Projekt Red was tweeting out?
Yeah, they said, they basically asked, hey, if you want to see, or rather,
Geralt's going to show up
in another franchise.
Smash.
Right? So The Witcher is going to be a guest in something. Where is he going to be? Who knows?
I have a strong guess.
What's your guess?
Soul Calibur.
That's a good guess.
The same guess that everyone made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone. Well, it's not going to be Smash for sure.
I don't know.
There's no Witcher games appeared on Nintendo.
Yeah, he's appeared on multiple.
Like? Such as?
Well, see, yeah, Willie. Where are you going?
The story about us being...
Okay.
The story about Geralt being a guest character.
I just wanted to deflect the question I had no answer to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you set it up for yourself.
I sure did, but I ran away from it.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, yeah, Soul Calibur would be an obvious place to go.
And it solves the problem, which is fucking exclusive to one platform guest character.
Like that still doesn't mean they won't have one.
Sure, but it would absolutely solve that.
I would be pissed if Bloodborne Hunter wasn't in this game.
I would prefer Geralt.
I'd be pissed then.
Why?
Because
why would you prefer Geralt over Bloodborne?
I mean, he's got a more interesting move.
It's not about preference. It's just about I think Bloodborne character showing up is a long shot. It'd be really cool. But I don't think it's
Why
like...
Why would it be a long shot when Sony owns a character?
Well, because I'm saying there's two ways to look at it. It can be a giant, huge positive if it shows up versus being a negative if it's not. I think looking at it as a negative
just
if it's like not
Darth
is kind
Vader
of like...
Just like Darth Vader and Yoda, they'd... That wouldn't explain.
Like, fuck this game
Sony,
if he doesn't... If Bloodborne's not in it is like, your expectations are going where?
I don't remember saying fuck this game. I remember saying I'd be disappointed if he wasn't.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
You said I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but I didn't say fuck this game.
Okay, fine. But I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
I'd be angry if my hamburger did
it. It would be. And I think that's it. It's a difference of perspective. I'm like, I would not expect it. I'm not going to set myself to expect it. But if he shows up, holy shit, that's awesome. You know?
The reason I say that Geralt would be a better choice is because they could straight up just give him Link's moveset.
There's that too.
That like he has potions, bombs, magic stuff. Like,
yeah, he has items.
I'm sure they deleted that data.
Yeah, yeah, but what I mean is the Bloodborne man has Bloodborne, and Geralt has like a really wide variety of stuff that he could put in a moveset.
I think when I kind of like collected a little bit, I think any time you set your expectations on a guess of a guest in a thing on a cameo. Like, there's just no guarantees you're going to get that. You know? It's a weird place to put hopes and dreams where there's so much chance for it to not be that.
Sure, but
it's also the best place to put hopes and dreams.
in a place like, where they'll never, where they'll never
like,
be.
Did you think Link would be in Soul Calibur 2? No.
No, but that's why it's like it could be anybody. So yeah, like in the realm of anybody, there's so much chance of it also not being
if
there.
Trunks is not in
I'm you know what I mean? Like I'm trying to break this down because it seems like such an obvious concept on the surface, but
is Max's fault. Because he wants the Bloodborne Hunter, and now
put the idea out there, and now
you had that look in your fucking eye where I said, this is Max's fault, and you're just like, where the fuck is he going with this?
Right. Say? You put the thought out there. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yes. So, Kiryu did not show up in Tekken 7.
Fuck.
Is that, god
that,
damn it,
that means,
son of a bitch?
That means Tekken 7 is the worst fighting game
not
ever.
Worth
expectations have to be realistic. It's awesome if it comes. It's awesome if it comes.
But, like, what's expectations should be about outlandish. Wanting Kiryu in that?
No, it's more like,
I think you want to say temper your expectations.
Maybe. I want to say that, like, it shouldn't be upsetting when the guest that could be anybody does not show
up. Okay, but like let's go back to Soul Calibur 4 and let's just say there's
because
no
we don't even know if
no
they were
Star
talking.
Wars characters.
We don't even know if these two companies are friends to me even, you know what I mean?
Just get George Lucas in here and they'll be friends in 2 seconds.
But when we're talking about Soul Calibur specifically, fucking Star Wars characters were in it, and you would say to me that would never happen.
Of
that's
course.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but maybe behind the scenes, those companies had a relationship that allowed that to be facilitated.
And you know what? For
Todd
McFarlane, it totally worked because he was like, oh, Namco is going to make me a Spawn game.
Right.
And I was making figures for Soul Calibur, blah, blah, blah. So they had this weird relationship. Oh, it makes total sense why they had fucking
why is Trigun and McFarlane a thing that you overlap with each other? That's what? Right? Yeah. But then but the backstory is, oh, yeah, that makes sense, right? Disney and fucking Square. Oh, yeah, Elevator Ride.
Man,
all these things.
Crossover shit is so awesome.
What if
stupid.
Vash was in
it
Soul
is.
Calibur?
It's
what
super
if
Vash,
is
Vash
Soul
was in Soul Calibur.
Man,
I'm
going to
be super angry.
Soul,
am I
Vash
making too much sense?
You're being too reasonable.
Okay,
the problem,
I'm sorry.
The problem is,
I'm sorry for being too reasonable.
If any of us say one certain character, you will throw logic out the door and be like, oh, yeah, then oh, that's what I want.
Hey, dude, I spoke to this dude I know at Capcom. He tells me Virgil's going to be in the next Soul Calibur.
That would be rad.
Oh, no, he canceled. He's not going to be in it.
Okay.
No, you're a liar.
That's a liar.
You're a liar.
That's...
You hate Soul Calibur now.
That's like... honestly, like that type of attitude is fuck this now. It's this perspective thing. You can't be like
no,
that.
No, if
it's
canceled,
so irrational.
No, but if it's canceled, then you can be like fuck it. If it was never going
finding
to
out
happen,
the close shave.
Yeah.
Finding out the close shave. Exactly. That's what I mean, right? So like
that's
you don't know how close Kiryu came to being in Tekken 7.
No, we don't.
And if you found out it was inches away, then everyone gets pissed at Tekken forever.
Yeah.
But
Kiryu
if we
or
never,
Sega.
And,
or Sega.
But if you
Kiryu and Bloodborne men are the Silent Hills.
If you never know, though, it's just the ether.
That's fun. That's fun.
Fuck Soul Calibur. Bullshit. Never buying another copy.
I'll never play that series again. I didn't start it, but I'll never play it again.
Dude, watch the real thing happen when fucking Tekken 8 comes out and there are people go, I'm an Akuma main. No Akuma, fuck you. For Tekken 8. Watch that happen for real.
Wait, well, you said that this happens with Smash. If you take out your character, people will be pissed and say, fuck this game.
Oh, yeah. There are Snake players that are still furious.
I'm bummed that Solomon Grundy didn't make the cut.
That's true. I forgot about that.
That happened to me. I was bummed that Baikin didn't make the cut.
And then she did.
Eventually. Blanka made the cut eventually.
It took like 3 years.
You know, that's a thing. It totally is. And I mean, quite frankly, I still think there's a chance that Akihiko might not make the cut.
Oh, he's not going to be in now.
But when it has 50 characters, it might.
You know?
Maybe.
But like, who's more popular than Akihiko?
Everyone.
A lot of Persona characters are.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. It's just like, there's totally a plausible chance.
Akihiko's not in Smash? Ugh.
Oh, man.
Screw this game.
Anyway.
It's always going to be in the back of your mind. It's always going to be there.
The Geralt being in there is does make sense in the sense that like he replaces Ezio,
and
which like everyone can enjoy.
And
that.
He's a sword man from the past, so sure.
Yeah,
and that, on that basic level.
Hey, you want to hear what Geralt's fucking intro cutscene to his weapon master is? Somebody gave me a contract to track down this cursed sword. It's evil or something.
Yeah, very easy.
When does Geralt fit into the timeline of this new game?
Okay, but then when he beats...
Where Soul Calibur does?
Yeah.
When he beats
Ivy... It's kind of like a reboot.
Then, like, you see a card flips up onto the screen.
Yeah.
And it's like a collectible card because it's like, oh, shit, he banged Ivy.
No, he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't get the cards.
No, he gets the cards for all the girls.
No, that's Witcher 1 Geralt, dude. No. That's clearly Witcher 3.
He gets... No, that's the Witcher. That's what it is.
Nah, that's Witcher.
He doesn't need the cards anymore.
Here's your tacky card.
His I'm with fucking Wooly card binder filled up. Okay.
Get your vault card.
I'm with Wooly on this thing that I don't know what you're talking about. I think Wooly's right.
There you go. Every time in the original Witcher, every time you bang somebody, you get a collectible card of their art being like in a boudoir shoot.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, I knew you'd bring a boudoir
the sex
again.
Cards.
Yeah. A new half-naked woman is added to his bed. Who gets progressively more naked.
Yeah, and then Geralt gives you dating advice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Geralt's like, be a mutant that has infinite stamina and can't get dick disease.
Did you know witchers have extra gas in their balls? It's true.
Speaking of swordmans, Travis strikes again.
Yeah, man.
So I'm glad that the one time I ever decided...
The trailer for No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again, which is the new... not normal heroes traditional gameplay game.
No, it's a spinoff game.
Yeah, you were going to say.
I was saying the one direct I ever decided to stream, I'm like...
It was for you.
It was the one. But apparently some people saying this was leaked before the direct, like, oh, they're going to show No More Heroes gameplay, and I had no idea. But I was really happy with what I saw just because I'm like, yep, that's a spinoff type game stuff with seven different types of play.
There is a moment 21 seconds into this trailer that I don't know what I'm looking at.
It's the racing thing.
But I want to know more.
It's like this vector-based mecha
redline
race.
It looks rad.
And the fact that it has co-op and you control Batman. And I was like, wait, what? You control Batman? Why?
Why would he be
the
buddy?
I know the setup. I can... kind of see it. It's
how
like,
is it not?
We got sucked into this game together. Fine, I'll help you get through it, but then we're gonna settle our differences.
I'm so surprised it's not Henry.
And everyone just telling me that, like, oh yeah, this boss design is by this artist that does like album art.
Okay.
So all these bosses, which all look incredible.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is like, oh, there's not a single woman boss. That's a little weird.
Mm.
There's one that's kind of cut off, but they just look like a mech. So I don't know. It could be a woman piloting it or inside it. I don't know.
Am I alone on that though? Isn't that weird that like it's not Henry that's the second player?
Well, I mean, the story was like, you killed my daughter, so I'm going to get revenge on you. So that makes sense for a spinoff. I'd rather have Henry saved for, like, if they do, like, a storyline-based No More Heroes.
Because Batman's a bad guy. He's a guy you fight, right? But he's also the guy I'm going to – like, he's the the description they gave was, like, he's the guy, right? He's your villain. He's your dude to fight. But he's also the playable secondary character. And I guess it was just like, oh – you would assume it'd be the twin brother.
But maybe it's just a reason just to facilitate a second player co-op mode. They're like, well, Batman's in it, and he already has like a sword-like object.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, I really liked it. I love that Travis's special move is a T-pose.
It's great.
And at first I was like, no, is it really? I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a T-pose.
They also, this is a brand new game. They could have made him swing the sword in a way that looked like he knew what he was doing.
No.
He continues to wave it around like an idiot with a Wiimote, which is what you are.
And they really de-emphasized all that, like, Hotline Miami Shovel Knight stuff. Remember it went from, like, oh, he's going to go to Shovel Knight World, to now it's like they might appear on a t-shirt Travis can equip.
I forgot about that.
They really, like, put the brakes on that and was just like, nope, that's not what this is. This is at all.
Also, dropping saves in public like that, that's a bit...
it's a little much.
It's a little uncouth.
But yeah, very happy with what this looked like. Some people were like, what the fuck? Well, no, it was never going to be No More Heroes 3. It was never called No More Heroes 3. It's clearly a spinoff game. Mm.
The guest character train continues as we're going to be getting an alternative time report for Final Fantasy 15 on March 14th, detailing Noctis and Tekken 7.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Heihachi and Final Fantasy.
That works just as well.
That image just made – I was like, what did I miss?
That would be fucking great. The car is rolling out with the boys and fucking old men.
Just slam into Heihachi.
Oh, that was a really good Heihachi.
Thank you.
Heihachi was in Pop Team Epic for some bizarre reason.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking a lot of people are. Wow with that. Yeah, so anyway, I want to see where that's going to go with the move list and shit. And maybe if we get lucky, it's probably not going to happen, but wouldn't it be cool if like there's like little like team up buddy like special things?
You mean like Strikers?
Strikers, yeah.
Yeah, or Super. No, wait, we saw a Super.
We saw a Super. Recharge. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine
costumes, right?
Maybe that's what his stage. They'll be in the background.
Stage background or like alternative costumes where you just dress up as them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you call in the car or just one of them?
Yeah.
Do you call in the car with all of them in it?
You call in the car and they're all in it and they throw you an energy drink and the Noctis
and
is
a
like,
cup noodle.
And no, the cup noodle's got to be. No, that's an
call
accessory.
Call in the cup noodle as an assist.
He has the cup noodle on his back, and you can pull it off and
attached,
throw it.
Yeah.
That cup noodle shit, man. This is wild.
Days Gone has been delayed to 2019.
Days have gone by until 20... I mean, Days developing and are... Ah, fuck it.
You'll get there.
The days of 2018's release of this game, I've gone to 2019...
What else do we have? I have a big shrug to this because I was never interested in this. Yeah.
You know what I don't
Let us
have
move
a big
on
shrug
from this
to?
Story.
Do you, have the,
show.
Do you have the BioWare news in here, Wooly?
I don't.
Okay, so do you know Drew Karpyshyn?
No.
Or Karpyshyn?
No. Oh, yeah.
Whatever you Kardashians? Said, no. Yeah, I know.
I saw that, but I didn't think you guys would have anything on that. I thought you would have more on
Wooly,
this.
Wooly, of course I would have stuff on the BioWare shit.
Okay.
So Drew Karpyshyn is the guy who wrote Mass Effect 1 and 2. He left very famously before Mass Effect 3, which... And he also wrote standalone Mass Effect books, the first two. And the third one was a trash fire that BioWare had to apologize for.
Writer Drew Karpyshyn has left BioWare for a second time.
He came back to work on Anthem and then has left working on Anthem, which, fuck.
So is this guy good at his job
He's
or really
very
bad
good
at his
job? He was.
They had to apologize for one of his novels.
No. They apologized for the novel by the new guy they got to replace him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was inaccurate and had all sorts of mistakes in it.
So he's good at his job. What's the what on this story then?
This makes Anthem look like it's in fucking dire straits.
It's like a girl going back into a relationship and then immediately breaking it off again.
And then your ass like, oh, what was wrong? Mm-hmm. Like nothing was wrong. The relationship was great.
Well, I know, I mean, we keep hearing about the whole, like, it's over if Anthem doesn't do well, but doesn't, like, I don't know, like, does this necessarily indicate
that? Casey Hudson also went back to BioWare and then left, and Casey Hudson's the lead on Mass Effect.
Follow the thought to the end, I guess, because I'm not really drawing the connections. Okay. Is it the idea that if it was a successful, really good thing, there would be sequels, and therefore they'd want to stick around?
No. They're leaving it in the middle of development.
Creative differences.
Which is bad. If high-up staff just start bailing on a project, does that look good to you? Especially if they were brought in specifically for that project?
Is it possible his writing job was done?
No.
Not when it's a year away still.
Not really.
Okay.
I
would say that he's done with the project. I don't think he'd say, I'm leaving the company.
Maybe he just hates the BioWareness.
What is the official statement? Is it a statement from him or is it a statement from the company?
It's a statement from him saying, I'm leaving BioWare. Hey, okay. I'm going to go focus on this other stuff.
I know a lot of you are wondering why I'm doing this. For many people, working at BioWare would be their dream job and they can't imagine anyone stepping away from it. But it was time to move on. Everyone who works at BioWare pours their heart and soul into the games they're making. It's creatively demanding and at times exhausting. In the past, I've managed to juggle outside projects with my work at BioWare, but it always took a toll, and there were always outside projects I had to pass on because they would represent a conflict of interest with BioWare or EA properties. So I made the decision to step back again and focus on my freelance work. I'd love to say more about the stuff I'm working, the novel I'm working on, or my graphic novel project, but those details will have to wait a while. And so
or
on, so
maybe it's the reverse, where it's like, this might be so successful they want me to do three other games after this, and no, fuck that.
Well, yeah, but he could just...
Well, go on to read the next sentence of, I'm sure people will read more into the statement than there really
is. Thank you. I was about to actually, yeah. So I was about to say, like, I don't see how this necessarily points. Well, I mean, maybe.
Well, maybe this on its own feels like maybe a little, but the fact that Casey Hudson also bailed is really like, granted, good, get out of here, Casey Hudson. You're the reason why Mass Effect 3 is a trash fire, but still, like, eh. Like, two senior staff members failing like this makes me think.
I think that this story in particular is not a where there's smoke, there's fire thing, but Anthem on its own, I think people are waiting, like, they're waiting for the corpse to roll out of the van.
The worry about the whole, like, we're done if this doesn't do numbers is definitely, like, a pressure cooker.
Yeah, the pressure there must be
It's a
extreme.
Pressure cooker, and that's, like, fucking unhealthy.
Well, because it also reminds me of the stuff with Destiny and Destiny's development, where they had a writer leave in the middle of development, and then they had to bring a new guy in, rewrite the whole story, and it ended up being a fucking mess.
They also had their music lead leave on very bad terms.
And which ended up with lawsuits about the soundtrack and the OST and stuff like that.
And as I think you pointed out some time ago, like, the success of Anthem means BioWare is now the Anthem company, which is not the
and
BioWare
non-success of BioWare means the end of BioWare. So it's
that, as you know.
So BioWare's fucking dead anyway, so fuck it.
Yeah,
it's just a name.
Hey, Anthem still looks cool.
Does it?
Does it?
Am I alone on this? Like, what?
I don't.
Was that footage not awesome?
I don't think that footage was real.
The footage was real.
I don't think that's sick.
I feel so confused here. I don't know. What do you mean? Like, it looked like a game that has some cool shit going on. Like, and Anthem, I'm like, I would be excited to play this video game.
Like, visually,
Anthem
looks
like... That's the thought that I have in my brain.
Visually, Anthem looks like AAA video game we're making. I can smell the loot box stink coming from over the hill.
If I can,
that's my impression of it.
If I can fly an Iron Man with my friends into the water and then fly out and do some cool stuff,
let me take a different tack on this.
Sure.
As somebody who
I'm open to that.
As somebody who has played that genre over and over and over for years.
Yes.
They showed nothing.
Okay.
They showed you that you have a jetpack in that game.
Yeah.
Like
your Iron Man,
and it's visually really good looking.
Yeah.
Right. So when you say it looks good, it's like, but it. You know, like, let
me take another take at it then. I liked the art I saw.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely. It reminds me of when, do you remember this game Rage got shown off?
You mean the first person shooter?
Yeah, the first person shooter by id Software. You remember when that got shown off, the desert game?
Barely.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, people thought it was going to be like Fallout. It wasn't like Fallout. It was just an id shooter with, like, weird technology.
I like the art that I saw in that video, then. Put it that way, if that makes more sense. I thought that, you know.
Because, like, the video we got wasn't even, like, a gameplay walkthrough. It was the fucking Ubisoft-style, like, fake-ass mission. And, like,
didn't they have people talking?
Yeah, that's what I mean. The Ubisoft style mission.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Hey, man, go around the back. I got the loot thing. Oh, fuck you. That's not real.
I like jetpacks.
I know you like jetpacks. I know.
You tried to sell off a human race in XCOM for a jetpack.
Tried.
You're aware of this.
He succeeded.
You watched the countdown.
You downplaying my achievements, motherfucker?
There was a countdown to your jetpack, and at the end, everyone died, and you sailed away into the night.
Sure did. Oh.
Then again, I sold out for a different reason.
With Destiny and fuck all
that's
the,
a good reason.
With Destiny and Division and all those types of games just ending up being the same shit over and over. Like, everyone looks at Anthem and pretty much everybody is just expecting it to be the same.
Everyone's assuming it's a platform,
EA, right? Like, I bet over at Anthem
they had some very frustrated meetings when the Battlefront 2 shit was going down over the future of Anthem and what that game was going
to
be.
I remain optimistic until I see reasons to be pessimistic about it.
Two of the senior people left.
It has EA on the box.
All right.
People might hate this term. Both the parents left.
Until I see that jetpack is surrounded by...
You have to buy the fuel for your jetpack.
It's surrounded by like nothing else that I would want.
Well, I should tell you that there are jetpacks in Warframe.
Your whole body is essentially a jetpack in Warframe. It's powered by your ball gas.
Welcome to my introduction to there being an anti-Anthem vibe out there, because this is not at all...
I wouldn't say anti, it's more like cautious pessimism. Yeah.
All I have in my brain was when that footage went out and everyone was like, oh shit, what's this new thing? So, oh fuck, that was thing. And then at some point news stories changed the vibe out there. And I completely missed that, because I'm like, I still thought that thing looked cool.
The souring
and I still do.
Happened in three parts. The big souring was Battlefront, where it just became like, don't trust EA properties at any form of face value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
And then part two a little was Casey Hudson leaves for no reason. And then part three was Drew Karpyshyn leaves for no reason. And it's like...
If that makes you think internal pressure that they're getting from higher ups.
Yeah, I guess I just...
Making them change
their decisions. But I haven't... Like when we see some more, you're going to get to make a more definitive...
Oh, and the fourth stance. Overflowing one is that game's supposed to come out... When? This year?
That got delayed.
Next year,
but we still haven't actually seen much of anything.
No, and that's going to answer everything, but it's like, that's it. It's a whole lot of question marks, but right now I'm like, I hope those question marks are good.
Understand why people might be hesitant.
Yeah, there's the...
Especially in the wake of all the EA shit that's
the extra stories that Pat just went over. Yeah. So, Bluepoint has announced that they're making another remake of something... We don't know what, but it's bigger than Shadow of the Colossus.
We're unable to say. They were asked in this interview, like, don't you want to make like your own
original thing?
And he's like, yeah, we could, but we're making another remake.
I mean, they're known as the remake company now. And that's okay, because they did a good job.
All right, what Sony
Minus
game
the
is
bugs,
bigger than Shadow
but that's
of the Colossus?
Funny anyway.
Shadow Man.
That's
any game that has a world with
bigger.
Inhabitants.
It's bigger.
It said a Sony game.
It came out on the PlayStation.
Fair enough.
Any world.
Is this a real story?
Any world with NPCs in it.
All right.
Yeah, that's bigger.
So the one that everybody seems to want is the one that's not going to happen. It's not going to be Demon's Souls, guys. It's not Demon's Souls.
It's Bloodborne. Make Bloodborne run well.
Yeah, just get rid of the frame pacing issues.
Is there even a remote chance that they would be re-releasing Dark Souls and then Demon's Souls a year later?
Absolutely.
There were.
Would they actually throw that out and like go battle?
Absolutely.
There was a rumor that a Demon's Souls remake was in development.
Yeah,
the beginning of last year, but
yeah, I remember that.
That'd be really interesting if both companies just fucking went up to bat against each other.
Did they say it's
with
a Sony
the Souls
property?
Franchise?
Aren't they partially owned by Sony?
Yeah, how much information is actually in this story?
They did the MGS HD
remaster. You're right,
remaster.
They are.
I think they're independent.
I just kind of assumed.
Yeah. It's safe to assume that.
And then Demon's Souls is out, and then like they announce Bloodborne 2 at the same time.
Yeah.
they follow up on that nondescript... From Software teaser.
Yeah.
They could even be making a Nintendo one because, like, Nintendo's been using a couple of development houses. Like, there was a bunch of Americans that ported Twilight Princess, but Nintendo was the one that ported up Wind Waker HD. And apparently, one of them said, well, yeah, we're still remaking something, remastering something for someone.
Yeah, I'd say get off the Sony train. There's no hints of whatsoever about what it is, and. I'm looking at their job script like thing. Maybe someone can do some digging, but
it could be Ico.
Yeah, it could be
there's no real information.
Is Ico bigger?
Ico is not more complex.
It has two moving characters instead of
and,
all the horse
and it's just the environment. And Shadow's a bigger game. Yeah, Shadow's a bigger game.
Maybe they'll be remaking Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs one.
Yeah.
They're remaking Heavy Rain.
Man, that is such an animal torture porn game. I don't know what the fuck was going on there.
The folks.
Oh man,
over at Nier mm-hmm. Automata have said there's one final secret no one has discovered in this game.
And then apparently it'll be bad news for people to find it.
So, who knows what the fuck that is, but if it's coming from the Seth Killian school of there's one final secret in Mega Man 9, it's like, then you will never find
out. Here's the thing, is that anytime someone said this, like when Ed Boon was like, oh yeah, there's still shit in Mortal Kombat 2, it's always lame.
Yeah, it's always, like, lame thing. I drew my dick in the code.
Yeah, or like, we hid Galaga in there, nobody cares.
Yeah,
but Yoko Taro's nuts.
Yeah, it's true. That's the only thing that makes me think. So,
Klebs jumped on this real fast, as you would expect, and the big thing that people seem to have taken away from it is that in the interview, they say, oh man, there's this one last secret that no one's found. And then the sentence before that is, hey, did you know that you can fuck the camera up and clip out of the world if you hold these buttons? So, like, people are running around using the newly discovered camera trick.
Is that a bug?
No, pressing the R3 button while holding the D-pad arrows, which break the camera, but felt near enough.
Intended. Okay.
It sound like an out of world object is placed somewhere.
So they straight up just like, you can move the camera anywhere you want with this shit. It'll even go through walls. And then they go, by the way, there's an extra secret in the game that so everyone's running around bugging the shit. And the guy who does Boundary Break going to be doing an episode on it soon.
Oh, man, Boundary Break on Dragon Ball FighterZ was great.
He's probably going to find whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's probably 2B ludes.
It's a butthole.
No, you know what it is?
Just a butthole out of world. It's floating in space.
It's a fucking... It's a Yoko Taro model hanging out with a physical RAR file.
It's just holding the zip.
It's details of how to make it to the stage production of Your Ha.
Don't.
No, it's a URL. I see the URL floating there.
I talk too much to Klemps about that stupid stage play. I don't want to hear you talk about it now.
Fine.
It's awful.
You're going to hear me talk about something else? Have either of you or any of you heard of Kimono Michi?
No.
2.
No.
Okay. So there was a Street Fighter V event, and every once in a while... Something that happens that I can call fighting games as art. I think we both agreed that Clockwork versus Neo and Marvel 2 was a fucking incredible set.
Yep.
The best of all time that game. Street Fighter V just had one of those moments with a Tokido versus Daigo 1-10 set that was fucking great. And
did Gutex throw his stick?
He did not.
Damn.
And it's not just on the level of like, it's not just on the level of like the way they play, but it's also on the level of like
who bitch this is.
There was no who bitch this is, but the backstory for both players, the front story for both players.
You can make a J drama based around like
it
Japanese
is
fighting
incredible.
Game
was this like a money match or was it
so I'll try to summarize it really quick, but the idea is that this. Daigo, despite not winning any majors of like recent import, you know,
has remained a force in fighting games.
Remained more than a force. He's still considered the peak, and the reason why, especially, is because Daigo is Batman. Mm-hmm. Daigo with time to plan is like good fucking luck, right? And the idea here being that Tokido, the guy who won Evo, the guy who made second place at Capcom Cup, the guy who can arguably be considered the best Street Fighter player in the world right now, still feels inferior to Daigo and wants to know why.
Okay.
Japanese.
And so he challenges him to a set with which he's going to see if he can finally cleanse this shadow.
Will Ippo finally beat Takamura?
It's a thing that's been looming over him the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're selling me a little bit on this.
Right? And these are in his words as well, right? And so he eventually trains himself to the point that he feels absolute...
Have they ever had a match in a major when one knocked the other out?
Yes!
Tons of times.
And Evo, who's won?
Tokido! But the 1-10... The long set is different.
Okay,
it's a different
video
game.
It's an Iron Man match.
What you come out with and start beasting on me with for the first three games
won't work after.
When I download that,
yeah.
You have nothing.
Okay.
You can't.
I thought maybe like they never actually met in a major.
Met in a major.
They meet every major.
I hope I can fucking find it. But
it's like, how many times has John Cena fought Randy Orton? Like 28 times.
Like these guys are fucking like the gods of the fighting game community. And what literally happened at Evo was in between the set where they both fucking like had one game and then the other game,
yeah.
They closed their eyes and meditated for the same amount of time and then reopened their eyes and hit the replay button and went into the final set. It's okay, awesome.
I'm not familiar with this, but how long is the do they get like breaks in between these?
No.
Or is it one
there
long,
is absolutely
long set?
A break and
no,
it is
wait, what?
And there are rules about the break. Because so first
if he gets a little bit of lab time or whatever in between.
Okay, no. Lab time. So there's let me get to that because there's rules of like when the break happens.
Yeah.
There's a mandatory break after 10 games. So you can't call it any point or whatever. There's a point where they're like, we'll take an intermission here. Because they need to be playing at their peak, which means the chairs, the fucking monitors,
tape,
everything was precise to their optimal,
okay.
Optimal play. Because them going at it with each other is like more than 100%. You're pushing it to your limits to the max, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daigo, like Tokido talks about, like, you know, he's been doing nothing. They've been doing nothing but preparing to fight each other for over a month now.
Okay.
Right? Daigo especially, to the point where, like, he knows characters, the character that you're going to fight more than you do, is what he does. And you can go back and, there's a Twitter called High Fight where you can read, like, the translations of the interviews with Daigo afterwards about, like, how the match went and with Tokido afterwards. And it's fucking awesome the levels that they went to beat each other, to fight and to play. And like the match ends in tears physically, like at one point where the person who loses is standing there and like holding it back and they can't because it gets that emotional. There's things that happen in the set where like you don't see this in normal fighting games. Like Daigo starts doing a thing where literally he's standing still as he's playing, because walking back puts you out of a range you want to be at. Mm-hmm. Crouching widens your hitbox too much, and any other thing you do puts too much of a risk as to you getting hit by a certain button.
Right.
So he just literally like lets go of the stick at points, and it's the optimal thing. Every decision, every moment, everything that happens in this set is fighting games at its peak, and I really can't recommend it enough if you have any interest in the set. It's
okay,
long.
So what was the money on it?
I have no idea.
Oh.
His soul?
I don't know if there was.
Your soul is mine.
Then who cares?
Yeah, okay. So it's a long ass set. It's about an hour and a half.
What a dickwad thing to say.
But, oh, whatever.
You naughty man.
Gotta go broke.
But it was just some excellent fighting game.
So that was the most Japanese thing ever, and what Pat said is the most American thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
like, is it like a bet match where, like, after the match, like, if Daigo loses, he has to go like drown an old person at his work or something?
The pre-match video literally presents
video
this
package
as the battle for the peak of the FGC.
Yeah, so it's honor. It's all about
honor.
And it's straight up like, Tokido, I have won everything, but I still can't beat that man. That, and, you know, like, and that's what it is. It's like, and like, the idea was basically here that, like, Tokido winning means that the era has changed in a way. And okay, fine.
Passing.
I get it.
Does he have the trophy?
It's a good first
from the
attempt,
Evo?
And I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is. I'm just like...
Because it was really cool. And the story in the backstory and the front story are all really
like,
awesome.
It's like wrestling almost.
Dude, you're completely right. But
that's
at
all
the same
I got.
Time, like, that, like, I have to do it for my pride as a... Oh, fuck off. You won. You won, Tokido.
He unlocked a Monster Hunter costume
at
the end.
Look at...
That's
look
his
at,
reward.
Look at your trophy and caress it.
But he never beat him in a first
I mean,
defense.
As someone that understands how and why Clockwork versus Neo was so good, sure, buddy. Like,
it was good because of the money! What are you talking about?
Oh, my
it was
God.
Good because there was stupid money on it. And people were going to go broke when they lost.
You cannot understand this. You have no honor in your soul. You're an honorless dog.
If it was like, oh yeah, Neo and Clockwork are going to have a big set of long matches because they don't like each other.
I forgot if some guy is about to like shoot a rocket at Pat's mom or a pile of his money.
Yeah.
You say that like Viscant versus low tier god is not another Hallmark excellent moment in history that had everything to do with pride.
See, that's different.
Hold your fucking tongue.
Why?
That's different.
Hold your fucking tongue.
No, here's the thing. That's different. Because that is some fucking trash FGC crap that...
All right, back bathroom.
Like, okay, Wooly...
Walk it back.
Daigo... Let's assume Daigo won. I don't know who won this, right? Daigo's not going to stand up and fucking yell at low-tier God that maybe he's going to be... yell at fucking Tokido. Maybe you'll be able to wash the taste of my dick out of your mouth. That's not going
to
happen. There's not going
to
be a fucking hip hop style pop off.
It was the equivalent in emotional like intensity in a Japanese way.
Like Viscant,
I'll say that
like,
much.
There was a worry if Vae wasn't there that like LTG might have like pulled a knife or
sure.
some shit.
Sure.
Like that's awesome. Where's the pop off there?
Are you complaining that there's not enough
first of all,
in Japan?
First of all, you don't know what the fight is or contains. But second, you just proved the point that without the money, it can still be an interesting
sure,
thing.
Sure, but not between good people. There has to be a villain.
There needs to be thuggery in Japan. How dare they have honor and souls?
I think
LTG versus Viscant works because there's a villain
in the most American way possible.
They're both villains,
and I feel
Chris G versus fucking what's his name? Sonic Fox works because there's a villain. Like it,
who's the villain there? Which one's the villain, Pat?
You get to pick. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. What
Pat,
the fuck is that?
You are the villain.
Chris G's the villain.
They're all villains. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'd rather see two villains fight because they hate each other than two heroes.
Sonic
fight
Fox
for
right now is literally being photoshopped and then re-rendered into pages of Dragon Ball as Frieza and then as Beerus, the god that needs to be crushed, the evil villain. Like, what are you fucking like? No. Anyway.
Happy.
It really
nice,
just comes down
people.
To Western storytelling versus Eastern storytelling.
Listen, Vegeta versus Goku to prove their strength, and it's like, oh, we're friends now. That's boring. One of them has to want to kill the other.
The problem was in the middle of the first to 10 when someone got on social media and tried to change the world. That's where the problem was. That arc was full of shit.
You could see the blue aura spreading out from Tokyo, covering the earth.
Let's take some emails.
Hey, we got some emails. So if you want to send an email, send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's
and
super
it might
best...
sound oh. something
no,
like Pat being talked over
fuck
and sandbagged.
You. Fuck you, bitch. It's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Like this.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
All right. Well, I got one that's really good for Matt, so I'll wait for him to get back.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
Matt, your first question. How was your dump? Was it massive?
He can't hear you. He's asked Matt. Matt Plague asked you how your dump was.
It was adequate.
Did it have like that grainy texture when
it
was coming
out?
Oh,
that's important.
All right. So we got one coming in over here.
You didn't release any gas, did you?
From
yes,
Nathan.
From the front of the back.
Hello, Nathans.
Nathan says, "Dear Super Best Friends, why haven't you mentioned the Punisher War Journal page? Where it looks like Frank shoots a black family. It was one of my favorite moments from the War Journal collection. Please let me know what your thoughts are."
All right.
Do you recognize this? Is there context?
No, I'm going to assume what's happening here is that there's a bad guy in the next panel that's behind the family.
So what we're seeing is a black family running. In for their lives, there's an explosion in their house.
And then Punisher kicks down the door.
And then the family turns to him and says, "Oh no." And then Frank opens fire and the narration box over him says, "Looks like I made it in time, just in time after all."
I really need to see the next page because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That looks bad.
Doesn't look too good, Frank.
That looks really bad.
That looks kind of rough.
That's why I'm going for. There's that cliche of someone going, "Oh, you're betraying me," and they have a gun on you, and they shoot the person that was trying to kill you from behind. So that's the only thing I can think of. But that's – as for why we didn't talk about it, that's why we didn't talk about it, because we saw it. It's the reason why we didn't. Was that in the issue we talked about on Matt and Willie? Because it wasn't.
No.
So
– that was not that issue, yeah.
There are other things worth discussing, like how much of a dick Superman is, which I feel is a good tier above that.
Oh, man, Superman's such a dick.
Will Dog says – "Hey, it's me, Super Best Y, guys.
Okay.
It's cool to meet you guys at MAGFest. Kind of going off of Willie's reaction to me saying you guys are a huge part of me buying PUBG.
That video?
I know.
Wow.
Was there a game that was covered by some people that you wouldn't expect to cover something where it positively impacted your opinion of the thing?"
Yeah, Warframe. Today.
But there's been no video.
Sure. Yeah. Today we had Warframe more than ever before in discussion, and we looked at some footage, and it looks like a Warframe.
I could understand why that would discourage you from playing Warframe, though.
Yeah, but I'm the type of person that when I get discouraged from playing something, that makes me want to play it.
But the thing is that you don't entice me by telling me how many screens and numbers and charts there are to
go
through.
Hell no. In fact, I try not to tell you about
that. You entice me by getting me to the move list.
"Hey, look, you could do a big jump.
Get me to the move list."
Did you know that Monster Hunter has a grappling hook?
That is like start to move list is what I want to fucking experience. And if the move list is you buy them with Proud Souls, okay, fine.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
But I still understand like the progression that you're showing me, and not necessarily like taking the thing you have and making it 2% stronger.
Listen, 2% is valuable. That's one out of every 50 times it'll be better.
I want the new swing that I couldn't do before, not. I want that more than the improved version of the swing I already
have. Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you about the fact that there's combo systems in the game, and you can de-equip them and re-equip new ones.
Like God Hand?
Or you can change the stance of your weapons.
Your weapons have stances.
Like God Hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can just do the big specials is what you can change. You can't change your combos.
Like Absolver?
Or am I forgetting that?
I don't know what... Yeah, comparison you want to make?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
He doesn't play punchy, kicky games.
No. As for me, like, I can't think of anyone that would play a game that I didn't think that they would play or is atypical. But like, Derek on Stop Skeletons from Fighting like made me really interested in weird ports of games to the point where now I'm like, I wonder if this had any weird ports. Mm. Like, oh, I really wish there was a Cruisin' USA game on the GBA. That would have been cool. And then I find out that there was. Or, like, now I'm really interested in all the different versions of Spider-Man games that there were. More than I thought initially. Like, I didn't know the PSP had its own exclusive Spider-Man 2 that no other version has. So his videos kind of made me go, like, whoa, yeah, there's, like, yeah, we think we know all the ports, but sometimes there'll be ones you literally had no idea.
There's
existed.
Always more.
There's always more somewhere.
Are you willing to get into a...
No.
All right.
I am.
Then we'll just move on.
I will do nothing.
Answer. No, I want to know it.
There is a... We can take like a couple more questions, or we can take one more lengthy one about justified Robo Baby racism.
All right.
How's it better be a good one.
Because it's long.
No.
The actual thing is long.
All right. It's about binary domain and the idea.
I mean,
of
you're the one looking at it right now. What do you think?
It looks pretty long.
Depends on your willingness to discuss the point.
They're completely biological. Robot-based racism against them is pointless and stupid.
All right, we'll move on.
And it's based on the Japanese idea of uncleanness due to the bomb and bloodlines and shit, and thus makes no sense for a Western audience at all.
I'd say that's probably pretty accurate.
The guy who wrote it in is a genetics major.
So. Okay.
Good job. Talking about
what is,
genetics.
What does he know about?
If you're talking about genetics in terms of robo-racism, you've already
lost the
battle.
Maybe he should apply himself and answer his own question if he's such a smarty pants.
Yeah, what's he asking us for? Jeez.
He wanted to tell us.
Because we're racism experts.
Well, I mean.
I've studied all forms.
It's a casual pursuit.
And applied them.
Okay.
You need the lab, man.
We got one here from...
Go into some lab.
Give us two shitty questions. Find the most garbage ones you can.
Chavez says, Super Best Friends, recently I was online shopping and I came across something my uncle always wanted. I then proceeded to show him, filled with excitement because it was so cheap, and then he gave me the money to purchase it. After 2 weeks waiting for arrival, I was excited because I got first dibs to mess around with it, and it turned out to be a bootleg version of what I ordered. I felt like so much shit because I basically went poor to buy him a legit version and made it up to him. Have you guys ever bought a gift online, either for yourself or someone else, that turned out to be a lie? How did you go about fixing it?
Have you ever been a grandma buying the Brazilian version of a movie?
The Wii U draw tablet bundle.
I have never bought a bootleg by accident. I've always bought them on purpose. Like, because I think it's hilarious.
I bought a bootleg of the Korean animation film Wonderful Days because there was no other way to get it.
Well, I mean, but like when I feel like the tone of bootleg here is a physical item that is clearly wrong. Like bootleg stuff. Twitter account.
I bought the first time I ever bought like a spare Apple charger.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that there were bootleg versions of it, so I saw the thing and I was like, "Yeah, okay." And then it was like, "No, it's bullshit. Doesn't work."
I got a weird bootleg thing that the person apologized for when we realized how bootleg it was.
I never got anybody bootleg
gifts.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, I've never had that experience. The only thing that really applies would. One time I accidentally got one of those stupid packs that has like half of a season of something in it instead of the full season.
That's the worst.
Because I wasn't paying that much attention
to
it.
Why do they even sell that?
I got it was like Region 8 DVD subs of fucking Cowboy Bebop that were the worst subs I've ever seen, where it's like, Vince, let's go to a Mars.
Sure. Yeah.
Like that. And the person was like, it said all English. Like, I bought it online. I thought, and then we're just watching. Like, it got to the point where it's like, the one person in the room that hadn't seen Cowboy Bebop was like, what's going on?
Yeah. Of course, the fucking, do not want Star Wars bootleg, which you can widely available at like Pacific Mall.
I feel like do not want like overshadows some of the way dumber shit, like the name of it being Backstroke of the West or,
do not want is too much play.
Every single instance of Jedi being changed to Presbyterian Church. Like,
that's new to me.
Oh, You guys,
I went through. No. I definitely went through the source on it and I forgot.
I combed that shit for hilarity. There's so much in there.
There was a really good one of Bato saying something completely nonsensical in Ghost in the Shell. I think it was from Innocence.
You'll never find it.
Yeah, it was a fucking classic.
It's probably too good.
Yeah. No. Well, that's gone. Oh well.
Oh well.
That's a good story. One time I saw something funny. What was it? I don't know.
Well, the hope is that someone else remembers it and then sends it in. And then we get to do that. That's
again,
our power plague. Our power is to say half-finished thoughts. And then someone goes, oh, yeah.
No, someone just says you're wrong. But I guess that's only me.
We present the idea of entertainment. It's up to the viewer to complete that thought.
It's a fucking performance art piece,
Everyone
man.
Has to do a little bit of work. To get the fullness.
Here's your homework.
It's called.
Figure out what funny thing Willie's talking
it's
about.
It's called interactivity.
Yeah.
It's called.
it's not something funny we did.
The crowd.
Along.
It helps
it's
with audience retention
picture.
To get people involved in the mystery. Of
you have to help with jokes too.
Yeah. The audience is part of the process.
You'll all laugh if you find me the joke.
And then they give you a really funny joke that wasn't the one you were thinking of. You're like, yeah, that it was that
was the one.
It was that one.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of. It was me.
And then we get paid.
Sir Rostifer says, "Dear mysterious entity that reads these letters to Wooly, I was recently talking with a friend about the Elder Scrolls and Todd Coward constantly re-releasing Skyrim." You forgot about Todd Coward, didn't you? You forgot about Todd
it's
Coward.
The best. Yeah. Don't believe Todd Coward's lies.
But wait, I thought you said new games. No, I said new names. Names for all these Skyrim re-releases.
Oh, man.
For an unforgettable Skyrim luncheon.
Todd Coward. Oh, man. All right, so what's the question?
He joked that the next Elder Scrolls game won't be set in a new province and won't even have Elder Scrolls in the title, but will in fact just be called Skyrim 2.
So I don't remember that.
So I was wondering, what is the most dire example of something being ruined by its own popularity?
Well, Plague's,
I don't want to say Dark Forces because it got better.
Yeah. Plague's going to say Dark Souls is ruined by its own popularity. What was ruined by its own popularity?
No.
Two Best Friends Play.
Oh! Shit! He did. Joke's on you. We were never popular.
Oh! Every time it's a T, and
the
it's not
the slowest growth on the internet.
I want to.
Well, I'm not far behind.
When you use the T and not the S, you know they hate Wooly.
It's kind of hard to answer because there's things that were ruined in the sense of the fandom became toxic.
So I don't want to say anything where it's because the fandom became toxic, but the thing remains good. Anytime it gets annoying, like your Undertale or your FF7 oversaturation, the source material is still good. So I'm going to say something where the material itself went bad.
Yeah, no, that's what I think,
right?
too.
Where the material itself went bad, I'm going to say Evangelion.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I'm going to say...
Is there a Mass Effect fit here? Or is it slightly different?
It's popular.
It's not so much because it was popular. It's more like...
No, it's because it wasn't more popular enough. So they kept more popularizing it.
No, that's a good answer. I'll take that.
I'm going to say... Oh, God, I just had it. I'm going to say Warcraft. Like, Warcraft was popular, and then World of Warcraft was hyper-popular.
As a brand or the game series
All
Warcraft?
All Warcraft.
But what do you mean in terms of, like, if you describe it as being a good series, do you mean that its gameplay went down?
Because one, two, and three are still fine.
World of Warcraft ruined Warcraft forever because it was so popular that it was not allowed to die ever.
Okay.
World of Warcraft came out in 2004, guys. Mm-hmm. It's fucking 2018 right now.
When you're talking about the whole like penetration thing with Warframe, like I forgot whose tweet it was where it was like, if I were to go start WoW now, it would be the most baffling jump between quality years and garbage years
back to quality years. I was talking to somebody about this, and it's like they remade all the old zones in Cataclysm, right? And then they made new zones in this. And it's like you are literally jumping between 2012 and 2010 and 2009 and then 2014, like per level. And it's wild. It looks rough. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
In conclusion, the Scots ruined Scotland.
Yeah. Damn Scots.
And the Irish never did anything cool. I said that at some point.
What's coming up? What's coming out?
Nothing.
No. What are we doing? Anything new?
Fuck.
No. Nothing's new.
Are you serious?
Nothing's new. There's no new. For us.
Are y'all done with the one-offs?
On our channel.
I mean, well,
we have one more bad one-off.
Is it one that we recorded?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Why?
Oh, that's a two-off. It's so bad.
Is there?
So it's not a mystery box.
Not when, but like...
It could be.
Why is it that when one-offs show up, it's called filler now?
Because it's filler.
Because
it's literally filler in between the next...
Get back to the main arc.
But it used to be just a normal thing that was done all the time.
All right, here's the deal.
Show me Super Best Friend Shupin and stop with these ostrich episodes.
At some point, we did less one-offs.
I have an answer for you, and it's your fault.
Okay.
It's your fault. Ever since you introduced Naruto to this channel, you have introduced the filler arc. Okay? See... hijinks and side plots that don't have anything to do with the main plot or main arc used to be the norm. But now, whenever they show up, it's filler because you know they're just buying time until they think of the next storyline.
And now that the ages are a thing as well, right? where we definitely can't. Yeah, okay.
And also, for real, one-offs are straight up actually filler. It is, there is too much time, there's too much time before the next one to do a long game. There's not mm-hmm. enough time to do a short one before the long one.
But that's not always true. And most of the time for me, that's that feels like it's not the case at all.
Or there's it's like a
lot of the time there's one-offs where I definitely am like, let's look at this thing that's a cool game that we should look at.
It doesn't make filler. Enough filler.
Hey, we spent a lot of time doing back-to-back LPs and we missed these incredible 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Let's give them their due and, very quickly.
And in fact, again, once upon a time, it used to be like
past.
It would be constant, yeah. right? Yeah. Like, and it just became less and less frequent, but then we'd miss the chance to take a look at a lot of cool games. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't see it that way.
Hold on.
At all.
Hold on. You're taking filler as necessarily negative. It doesn't necessarily mean negative. It just means it's not part of the core plot.
Oreos have filler.
It tends to come at me in a negative
way.
Yeah,
because of your goddamn Naruto shit.
No, because it's like I want to know what happened on KOTOR.
Side quests and
and like I'm waiting to see what happened in KOTOR.
Exactly. So, that's exactly what a filler episode is.
Okay. And I guess I'm just more along the lines of like, it was always there.
But if a filler episode is good hijinks, that's fine. Most of Cowboy Bebop is filler.
Yeah.
That means there are other channels out there that are like Cowboy Bebop. Our channel.
Those are my favorite parts of Cowboy Bebop.
We are a Naruto channel now.
I just hope people are not those people in particular, because it's obviously not the majority, are not like, God damn it, a new thing.
Fucking Owlboy, God damn it.
I'm like, because it's a cool thing.
I want pockets.
Yeah, like you're here now, so we're going to do the fucking Monster Hunter back up.
Sure.
Now you're in high rank like a proper badass.
If we continue doing it, it would just be the norm. Yeah. And we stop doing it, and then we start doing it again, and it's like, yeah.
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 The important thing is to never try.
You didn't answer my question.
What is the question, actually?
What's coming up?
There was no question.
Oh, what's coming up? We got more KOTOR. We got the one of the shittiest one-offs ever. Yeah. It's bad.
Look forward to that bad filler.
It's fucking... Yeah. That game is filler! That game is filler as fuck. Yeah. That game is terrible.
What is it filling?
It's filling
a ball
nothing.
Sack full of gas?
Yeah, basically. It's trash. We got
Dead to Rights.
We got Dead to Rights coming up. Some fun cuts upcoming.
I figured those out, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
I figured out how to stop all that.
What was what? How? Oh, tell me. Okay. Because fuck. Some cuts. Some deep cuts coming.
My phone was ringing for a while one day.
We talked about that in the episode. I'm like, Wooly must be laughing his ass off. Because I look at my phone, and on my phone it says, Wooly has seen this. And it's the fucking 35 edits that we asked Billy to make for that episode. But,
yeah. Well, that's because I was abroad and had to fucking mute my shit. Because it was like, what is going on
back there? Listen, Dead to Rights needs cuts. All right?
Are you playing a game that has resolution changes? Between transitions?
No, we're playing a game that has varying levels of difficulty from moment to moment.
Per encounter.
Yeah. The per encounter difficulty is highly variable.
Yeah.
We got... I said KOTOR, we got Dead to Rights, we got more one-offs! Me and Willie are going to record another Monster Hunter video
at some point
this week. Wait, boo.
No, man, you like Monster Hunter now.
I played Monster Hunter for 3 days, and then I haven't gone back to it since then.
Oh, why?
He hates it.
Is it because it's not...
No, I don't hate it. It's just one of those things where you kind of have to keep the ball rolling in Monster Hunter.
Well, luckily, they're going to announce more DLC tomorrow night, I think. Did you see if that was... Seriously?
You didn't see it?
Okay.
Devil Joe?
That was hot. No, yeah, and also the stuff that's going to be coming in the update.
Sure. No.
That was very dismissive.
Mm. As for me, on my channel, I will not be releasing anything.
And if you do, it will get taken down.
Yeah, that's true. I've released lots of things, but it gets taken down every day. People just don't notice.
Play's cranking out tons of content, guys. I mean, geez, it's not fast enough.
You just can't see it.
But the next thing that I release will probably be the animation. Well, it started from like Dark Souls shit posts or whatever. But the next thing is going to be the animation, but it's going to take a while to get done. I can't remember how many frames exactly. It's like 4,000 frames or something silly.
That's a really long attack.
Not really. It's like 2.5 minutes or something.
That's a
my math no good there, but yeah, it's something. So that'll be the next thing. It's going to take a while. Like I said, got scene one done today, but there's like 30 or something scenes, so it's going to take a while, as animation always does. Other than that, no sagas for you. Okay. But other than that, I might do something else, depending on if other people can stop being sick.
Gasp.
But we'll see about that.
Gasp.
Like everything, it's always Wooly's fault.
Mm. Oh, shit. Wooly's stopping things from coming out on Plague's channel?
My immune system.
All this
system.
Goddamn filler in my channel.
My immune system is technically stopping things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't a horrible ant that bit your leg out this time. It was just the flu.
You never know what could have given him the flu. It could have been a bug.
It could have been a could have well, been a bug. That's why they say, oh, looks like you've caught the bug.
Caught the bug.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa, that was good.
Unfortunately, Plague, that might have to at least wait, even if Wooly's set to go, that like might have to wait another week because I'm going away on a little family vacation with Leanna's family.
Tomorrow. Going to die next week. That is true.
I might, I'll miss the podcast by like probably a few hours. I think we're coming back Monday night.
Don't get your face bit.
I won't. But then after that, we can certainly do the thing for you, Plague.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli, sorry. I know you don't like
me. Hey, Wooly.
6 years. You could always do something with Pat.
Yeah, you could, bitch.
I could.
Is there anything coming up on Wooly Versus this
week?
No.
I mean...
you can't correct me because I know the answer and it's no.
He could have something waiting in the wings and he could
do a lot of things.
Came out the other day
and he could call the video "fuck you, Eli." I mean, Plague.
That's content,
Eli. That really hurts, Eli. Wooly's trying his best, Eli.
Oh, man.
Well, if you stop filling up your fucking schedule with so much shit,
Wooly's
like exercising. Like some sort of animal.
Listen, not everyone has the ability to just sit all day talking at the walls in the farm, Eli.
Why not? You could do that. Actually, I have been exercising really more lately.
Answer. Oh, man.
There is an unlisted video that is sitting there, yes.
Yeah, see, you can hit that button at any time.
And when that's ready. I've got a video editor for another video that's in the process of being cut together. And I have the script for a third video also open up in a tab right next to that I'm writing. And it's a very long script.
How long are we talking?
Well,
plans are not content.
I know that.
Oh my God,
I know
such
that.
An
No.
I love being a shit.
Right.
I love being a shit.
He's never been more right than this
right,
in this
but
moment.
He was really asshole.
He is super right.
I say that because that's what my shit is too. So
what
I know that personal.
12
that
videos
agony.
Are coming out on Matt McMuscle's channel.
Tonight is
Holy fuck!
Tonight is my commentary on Mortal Kombat Annihilation with Matthew. Wednesday is a one-off with Liam.
Oh man,
and then
that's
after
a lot
that,
of stuff.
I have a look of Demolition Girl on the PS2.
Oh wow,
which never came out in North America.
It'll probably be great.
Oh man,
it'll be fine.
That's super cool.
It'll be fine.
Wow, that's a lot of videos, Matt.
Yeah,
that's super rad. Are you gonna be streaming anytime this week, man?
No, because I'm gonna be gone.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay,
I won't be streaming either.
Oh, you're not going to stream either?
Bye. No,
I'm here
and
to
neither will you, Pat.
Why am I
You'll
not
promise gonna... to stream. You'll promise to stream and then you won't do it.
I have streamed almost every time that I promise to stream. I just usually
That is a lie.
I will fight you. I will go
you
through
are lying.
A year of tweets and I will you will see it. I only
I'm
going to
put
like,
a cute cat picture under that.
Oh yeah, I love cute cat pictures. I put
Pat's
up some
lies.
Myself now. Okay, I might stream over at Angriest Pat. I don't know what. Or I might stream over at Peach Live because we're doing Undertale now, and that's actually a lot of fun.
That's true.
The chat are a bunch of cunts, as you would expect.
Mm. So none of us are releasing any content is the answer.
I'm going to release my fucking ball gas in your face.
I was about to say, should we end on another ball gas? Or Belzegeese or whatever the fuck that
We never determined whether or not once the gas hits the air, if it turns into pee.
Yeah, it turns into piss mist.
Name.
Piss.
Because if you grab your zipper, you know, the zipper that all boys are born with on their balls, of course, then unzip it, does the piss just rain down, or is it like
gas, and then it turns into a tiny storm cloud that rains.
But what happens? Like, but if you pop it with a pin, then what happens?
Oh, what happens is you know when you step on a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay, but like dissolve.
There's
the
a
gas,
pop, and then you realize there was nothing
then
inside.
Liquefy as soon as oxygen makes it.
Yeah,
in there.
It does.
Oh, then your balls get really full.
It's true.
Liquid piss.
No, it falls out.
It's gross now.
But it's a pinprick.
Yeah. It blows open because, like, you step on a bag of chips.
Yeah. Sperm is stored in the bladder.
Oh, I thought it would be like because you let the hole of air in and now all the air is going in.
No.
And then it all liquefies.
They're pressurized.
Your
balls are under pressure all the time.
Okay.
Pressure.
That's why you got to keep the zipper open a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, just a little bit. So it goes.
Yeah.
Like letting the air out of a balloon so it doesn't pop is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Eli.
Goodbye.
Bye, that's why. That's why your girlfriend has a squeaky voice. When never mind. Never mind.
Wow.
Bye, Eli.
You just. We'll bye. Bail you out of that one.
Bye,
we'll
Mr.
bail
McGillicuddy.
You out. All right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Gillicuddy.